Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. What did we learn after 1 week of college football? 319-366-1600. Welcome in. It is a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, online at kgymradio.com. Perhaps you've heard our messages regarding the 107.5 FM signal. We are doing some work on that in the coming days. So if you try to tune in and you don't hear anything, try to catch us on 1600 AM. Or if you are in the southern portion of the viewing area or heading south, 106.3 FM as well. We'll try to make our maintenance as brief as possible, and hopefully it doesn't impact your enjoyment of local programming. Todd and Alex with you until 7 o'clock tonight. We got a lot of ground to cover and a couple people along for the ride to help us do so. Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com will join us shortly after 5 o'clock tonight, taking a look back on Iowa's successful season-opening victory over Miami, 38-14 at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday night. And John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, who is normally with us every Monday, kind enough to rearrange his schedule and join us on a Tuesday night. John's going to be with us at 5:30. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. We'll talk baseball. We'll hear some of the highlights of Kirk Ferentz's news conference earlier today in Iowa City as well. And, of course, hear from you on the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Check them out at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City on the Ped Mall. Hawkeyes and Cyclones start the year 1-0. Kind of two different ball games. Two different ways to go about starting the season 1-0, but a win is a win.
Whew, if you're an Iowa State fan. The fumble, Sheldon Crony fumble that Brock Purdy dove on top of to preserve that win inside the red zone in triple overtime. We'll get into Iowa State, but let that be a lesson. Iowa State, Minnesota, if you do not come to play with your A game against a Missouri Valley Football Conference team, you're going to be in for a dogfight, and you and I proved that, and man, their quarterback, Will McIlvain, looked really, really good.
I was very, very impressed by him, and we will get to, as you mentioned, the Iowa State-UNI game in a little bit here within the first hour. The major news coming out of Iowa's opener on Saturday night was the injury to Alaric Jackson, and we got an update on that earlier today from Kirk Ferentz. It's not great, but it's also not the worst-case scenario. Jackson's going to miss this weekend's Big Ten opener against Rutgers, and depending on your worldview, your outlook, he's also going to miss the Iowa State game. Then Iowa has a bye week, and hopefully he is rested and ready to go for Middle Tennessee State on September 28th. That was not the official timeline laid out by Kirk Ferentz earlier today, but it sounds as if he will miss a minimum of two games. They are optimistic that he'll be back and up and running for Middle Tennessee State. In the meantime, they had no problem finding people to fill in for a likely first-round or second-round NFL draft pick on the offensive line. One of the fun emerging stories from Saturday, and you get these every year, Kyler Schott, Otakagan, and North Lynn, a walk-on to the program, and he is listed on the depth chart that was emailed out yesterday and distributed today in Iowa City as the starting right guard for the Hawkeyes against Rutgers.
Awesome story, and I did think that it took him a little bit to figure out the right combination of who needs to be where when Alaric Jackson is not in the game, and they moved Tristan Wirfs to left tackle, and then they moved him back to right tackle. I thought it was the better combination having him at right tackle, and then Mark Kallenberg at left tackle. But despite that fact, if Alaric Jackson is only out for 2 weeks, I think that they, you look back and you say that's a win, because there were a lot of concerned Hawkeye fans when he was crutching off the field and not putting any weight on that right leg. And you're wondering, okay, well, they came through in the second half. They weathered the storm from a Miami team that threw a bunch of wrinkles at them that they weren't expecting, and they turned it on. But will they be without their star left tackle for the rest of the season? If it's only 2 weeks, I think that they will definitely take that.
I think if you're looking for early strength out of the gate this year for the Hawkeye football team, the offensive line can definitely be one of them.
Definitely.
There were absolutely zero concerns over Tyler Linderbaum, seeing him up close and personal on Saturday. I talked with Tristan Wirfs after the game, and I said, is this the guy that we saw out there tonight at center, is that the guy that you saw all throughout camp? And he said basically yes, and said, among other things, that Tyler Linderbaum was tenacious. He said he thought tenacious was a good word to describe Tyler Linderbaum, and I believe he also described him as a little bulldog. So it'd be a good rapper name, just in case Tyler Linderbaum wants to branch out after his football career is over. But you get a kid from Solon and you drop him in at center, and a kid from Coggin replacing a likely NFL draft pick at guard, and the Hawkeyes are able to get the job done against a MAC team in Miami, which was not great, maybe not as bad as advertised.
No, they were much better than I thought they were going to be. And I spoke to Kayvon Merriweather earlier today in Iowa City. You'll hear the audio in the next couple of days. But I asked him, what is it like preparing for a team that all week you think, we're not exactly sure what personnel they're going to have out there, what groupings they're going to have, who's going to be playing quarterback, if you're Iowa, and then you're going into game day and you're just studying what they have last year and it doesn't look all that great, and then boom, they hit you with Brett Gabbert, who looked very good as a true freshman, and they have a bunch of new players out there, and he even went as far as to say everything that we practice, everything that we game planned for, all the plays that we game planned for, Miami ran none of them. So you're drawing things up in the dirt, you're adjusting on the fly, and eventually they kind of found the right recipe. So I thought that more than anything, that was a testament to Phil Parker's ability to adjust on the fly to something that they weren't preparing for, and that's going to happen in Big Ten play.
And speaking of preparing for things, Miami clearly had a game plan on how to neutralize A.J. Epenesa.
A lot of quick throws.
Don't even give him the opportunity to get into the backfield. A lot of double teams, a lot of triple teams. When they weren't double and triple teaming him, they were chipping him on the outside. I know people were focusing on the stat line after the game is over and say, well, it's a different world when you're not coming in, you know, when you're coming in playing every single down. I don't know what to tell those people, because this is still a likely first round. This is a top 10. Top 15 NFL draft pick out there. They spent so much time figuring out how to neutralize him and take him out of the game on Saturday. And I don't know whether teams like Rutgers and Iowa State are going to see anything on film and use it to their advantage. But if you're writing A.J. Epenesa off after one game as a starter, you're a moron.
I went back and just sort of watched the snaps that he was in. He was actually pretty solid. He was very disruptive. And he got to the quarterback a couple of times. They really didn't have many plays where anybody in the defensive line was a factor. They were getting the ball out of Brett Gabbert's hands so quickly. So I thought that a lot of the penetration that he got led to other guys getting tackles. They chipped him, like you said, several times. They were kind of leaving him out on an island, on unblocked on certain plays, and running the option to his side, and he was a factor without filling up the stat line.
By the way, it was fantastic to see and chat with so many of the listeners on Friday at Fry Fest. Thank you so much for stopping by the KGYM booth and saying hi. We had a great chat with Warren Holloway, the hero of the 2005 Capital One Bowl. If you guys missed that and want to go back and revisit it, you can do so at kgymradio.com. We've got a poll question there as well. We'll get to that shortly. But we were, and I say we, Buddy Lee was doing most of the handing out of the cards with the raffle numbers on them. If you listen to Buddy's spiel, you know exactly what we're talking about here. But we're going to give somebody an opportunity today to win $100 just for having stopped by the KGYM booth on Friday at FryFest. We'll be revealing the first number here before the bottom of the hour. And if we don't have a winner, we will continue to give numbers until, hopefully, before we're off the air today, we have a winner. And I know a number of people were taking those cards and tucking them away for safekeeping. They planned on listening to local programming today. So again, coming up in about 15 minutes, right before Kyle's first big board update of the day, we'll give you an opportunity, if you are the select cardholder, to give us a call. 319-366-1600, though, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Very active, a lot of Hawkeye fans chiming in after the 38-14 win over Miami. And before we get too far removed down the tracks, this was, between Iowa and Iowa State, the Hawkeye State's welcome to legalized gambling, because if you were an Iowa State fan that put down money on the Cyclones to beat UNI, and I believe Iowa State opened as an 18-point favorite and wound up something as a 20-point favorite, and Iowa, which closed as a 25-point favorite at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, this was your welcome to sports gambling moment. That last touchdown that the Hawkeyes put on the board in the fourth quarter proved to be big for most of the Iowa backers. Not all of them. If you got in on the game late, you may have wound up suffering a loss. Luckily for the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones, they did not. Both teams 1-0. Iowa State, a bye week now as the Cyclones gear up for Iowa in 2 weeks. AP poll out today. The Hawkeyes held firm at 20. Iowa State and Nebraska tied at 25. In the coaches poll, Iowa checks in at number 19 today. Iowa State, unfortunately, has fallen out of the coaches poll.
And then there's Oliver Martin.
We haven't even talked about Oliver Martin, and shame on me. There was a lot of, like I said, there was a lot of ground to cover from the first game of the season, and
there were
the
Alaric
Jackson
lines.
Injury certainly was at the top of the note card here. I, like Kirk Ferentz, have my own note card here in the KGYM studio. I write on it way more than Kirk writes on his because I make way more mistakes. Oliver Martin, the second play that he was on the field. Now, there were people in the first half wondering, where is Oliver Martin?
Yes, there were. They were tweeting at me.
Where is Oliver Martin? And we didn't see number 5 on the field for Iowa. And then when we did, it didn't take too long for him to make an impact.
The footwork on that play, getting off press coverage, the separation that he got, the catch, the finish, it looks like he might be the most well-rounded receiver on that roster. And you hate to say that right away based off of two catches, but I think that you can recognize somebody with immense talent when you see that person. And I think it's very safe to say that come conference play, Oliver Martin is going to make a huge, huge impact on this team and maybe a top two receiver on this team. It just depends on how quickly he can learn the playbook. And people were wondering, where is he in the first half? Why is he not out there? Well, this is the first game of the season. He's been practicing with the team for 3 weeks. You're going to put him out there in situations and in lower stress situations where you're not asking him to do as much. They brought him in the red zone as a red zone target. And I'm just going to be very interested to see how up to speed he is in a couple weeks against Iowa State, because there is no doubt in my mind that he is going to be unleashed at some point. whether that's against Iowa State or whether Kirk Ferentz waits to do it in conference play, but he just has too much ability for him not to be out on the field if, in fact, he has the playbook memorized and is a full go that way.
Lots of different players catching passes and being involved in the ground game. Kirk Ferentz said today in Iowa City that that was by design. I don't know whether or not we'll see them go as deep in against Rutgers this weekend, which has all the fun and excitement of an early September low-level non-conference game in Big Ten form. I know the players spoke about this today in Iowa City, and Kirk Ferentz said, look, this isn't my cup of tea. I like September to be about non-conference games, and I like October and November to be about conference games. Well, get used to it, because I think in a couple years, Iowa's going to open the season with a Big Ten game. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic. I'm not going to say he broke the news to Kirk Ferentz earlier today about Iowa playing Indiana at the start of the season in a couple years, but Kirk tried to play dumb that he was not aware of that. I refuse to believe that. But this is going to be all sorts of interesting this week with a Big Ten game, a meaningful game right out of the chute. And then back to back, a Big Ten opener, and then a road game, your first road game of the season. It happens to be against your in-state rival. So this is a really fascinating two-week stretch of football here for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Well, it is, and they just played a team that sort of caught them a little bit by surprise. Not that Miami of Ohio is a good team, but they're better than we all thought they were going to be, and I think that includes the Iowa football program. Rutgers is much better than they were last year, too. Now, that's not saying they're good. They are not a good football team, but they were so bad last year, and McLean Carter, the Texas Tech transfer, they finally have a guy at quarterback who's at least competent. Isaiah Pacheco was outstanding at running back for against UMass. He looks like he has some ability. They have some better skill guys, so they look like a 3 or 4 win team, but not the 1-11 pushover with a quarterback with 4 touchdowns and 16 interceptions like they were last year. So I think Iowa will win, but it'll be a little bit stiffer of a test than I think a lot of us anticipated.
Speaking of teams that were better than at least I thought they were, you and I,
yeah,
and Will McIlvain, that's a keeper.
Yes, he is.
Will McIlvain appears to be a keeper there for Northern Iowa, and I don't want to say he single-handedly kept the Panthers in that game. And Iowa State fans, you're more than welcome to, I don't want to necessarily say complain, but we can discuss whether or not that was a forward pass or a fumble, because I thought it was pretty close to being a forward pass myself. It was ruled a fumble and kept you and I in the game. Triple overtime. Our poll question today at KGYMradio.com is simply, should you and I have gone for two? Should the Panthers at some point in double overtime, should they have gone for two? Because as that game continued to stretch on, as oftentimes does when you have an FBS opponent and an FCS opponent, the longer the game goes, the more you see that conditioning and the athleticism of the FBS team sort of taking over. Did you and I miss an opportunity to go for the kill? And look, if you go for two and you don't get it and you lose, hey, you were expected to lose the game anyway. You go for two and you get it, you've got a pretty attractive scalp hanging on the wall in the you and I football offices. That's our poll question today, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
I'll ask you this, Todd. Do you think Mark Farley is kicking himself for not going for two?
Probably not, but
I would be.
I think if he were inclined to have gone for two, I think he would have. So I don't think he's probably losing too much sleep over it. He certainly is not pleased with the outcome of the game. He's got to be a lot happier about some of the things that he saw with his team than Matt Campbell was with what he saw from Iowa State. And that Iowa State team is far from a finished product. Another great question is, if you're Iowa State, wouldn't you want another game this Saturday? Yeah. Wouldn't you want one more game to sort of work out or iron out some things before playing Iowa? Not to, if you're an Iowa State fan and the eyes are rolling into the back of your heads right now, please center them back on the road or your work or whatever it is you're doing. I'm not implying that Iowa State would make Iowa its Super Bowl. What I'm saying is, if I'm Iowa State and I notice that, holy cow, we got issues in week one against UNI, my thought process would be, let's get right back out there and try to fix them in week two against God knows what directional school you can get on the schedule. As it is, they've got no game this weekend, 2 weeks of practices, no game in between UNI and Iowa where you get to go up against somebody else and figure out. Look, it turns out that it's a lot harder to replace a David Montgomery and a Hakeem Butler than you would expect it to be. But that team that I saw Saturday at Jack Trey Stadium reminds me a lot of, and you guys are going to hate this again, I know you don't, neither fan base likes Iowa-Iowa State comparisons. This Iowa State team right now reminds me of some of Kirk Ferentz's better teams, where the defense is going to keep them in games. The defense may even win them games. And the offense looks sort of like a train wreck.
I'm going to make another Iowa Kirk Ferentz comparison. Matt Campbell is starting to get the chatter about, does he take non-conference games seriously enough? You're starting to get the, not necessarily seriously enough, but is he game planning and putting all of the emphasis in winning the game in the non-conference, or is he trying to develop and use everybody and switch up his sets and use the entire playbook and find out what works regardless of whether or not the outcome on the scoreboard looks good? And I would say there's no validity to that, but they almost lost a game to Drake last year in a game where clearly they didn't put all of their resources into that contest. And they have shown in the past that they pick things up in the Big 12, which is great, but I'm starting to wonder what is that Iowa game going to look like? Are we going to see, I have no doubt in my mind, they're going to be fine come Big 12 play. They're going to score points. They're going to figure it out, but will they figure it out before then?
1345 on the text line says Will McIlvain for you and I is like Seneca Wallace. I think I know the color of Kool-Aid that texter is consuming there. It also goes on to say, whether Hawkeye fans want to admit it or not, you and I will be a good team this year. And regardless of them being an FCS team, that was a good game. I don't know what the hell that text is about. But yeah, Will McIlvain, it's one game. And he did look really good. And he played lights out football. But I don't know what Iowa, I don't know how Iowa's germane to a conversation about Iowa State and you and I. You'll have to explain that one to me a little further. 319-366-1600. They're also not on Iowa's schedule this year, so I don't think the Hawkeyes are really losing any sleep over Will McIlvain and the Panthers. Iowa State probably had some nightmares Saturday night. When the Cyclones went to bed, though, thinking about what if a couple things would have went differently in that game, including
Brock Purdy didn't go diving into the pile with his right shoulder like that.
Holy cow. I'm sitting there, and my wife on Saturday, she's like, don't you need to leave? Don't you need to get to Iowa City? And I was like, I will shower. I will get ready to leave. I will leave you and my son alone when this game finishes up. Because I am not walking away from the TV set right now. I got to see how this thing plays out. Was it a forward pass? Was it a fumble? I thought it was a forward pass, but there wasn't enough conclusive evidence to say otherwise. And so you and I benefits greatly there. And Iowa State was not the only Power 5 program that flirted with defeat or disaster in week one.
It was a theme around college football, in case you weren't paying attention. Did you see Nebraska?
Never bet week one games.
I
always violate my own rule, but Nebraska did not look fantastic against South Alabama. And, of course, you had Tennessee.
I was going to say, how are things on the sports animal today, WNML?
They are calling that the worst loss in Tennessee history.
It's hard to argue with that. I know that they threw a couple other games out there, but... Whew.
Nebraska, by the way, is expected to bring anywhere between 20 and 25,000 fans to Folsom Field this weekend for Nebraska and Colorado, the renewal of what used to be an end-of-the-season rivalry there in the Big 12.
It was the Black Friday game before Iowa and Nebraska was.
Colorado fans not all that concerned about the number of Nebraska fans that are going to be there. That it's going to be half the stadium. Colorado's a four-point underdog in that game, by the way. It's one of the six contests that will be picking on the Pick Six presented by Emil's Hideaway coming up this Thursday due to a programming conflict on Fridays. We will have the Pick Six this Thursday. Congratulations to our producer, Kyle Mann, one of three panelists to go 4-2 last week. Kyle winning on the tiebreaker, and that means a Emil's Hideaway gift certificate making its way into the hands of one happy listener. Speaking of Kyle, he's in the studio with us now. He's going to bring you a big board update three times a day on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We bring you big board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street or their showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Hawkeyes beat Miami of Ohio 38-14 on Saturday night and earned themselves a bump up to 20th in today's AP poll. And today, Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media to address some questions and look ahead to Week 2. He confirmed that offensive lineman Alaric Jackson avoided disaster and his injury was just a sprain, so he could return as early as the Middle Tennessee State game in Week 4. He also says cornerback Riley Moss will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury, and Julius Brents will continue to miss time from the secondary as well. The one bit of positive news is that Cole Banwert may be ready to step back in this weekend. Iowa State had a much tougher time with UNI, requiring three overtimes to beat the Panthers 29-26, but they also remain in the AP poll at 25th. Starting center Colin Newell suffered a knee sprain in that game, but Campbell says his outlook is better than expected at first, calling him day-to-day, and running back Kenny Nwangu was also said to be day-to-day with an injury as the Cyclones head into their bye week. Aside from quarterback Will McElvain, it was kicker Matt Cook who started for the Panthers in that near upset, and today he was rewarded with the FCS National Special Teams Player of the Week honors. The true freshman Cedar Falls native went 4-for-4 with makes from 49 and 50 yards. Other big news for UNI sports fans today is the announcement that the school will start selling alcohol at all football and men's basketball games. That begins this weekend for the team's home opener. Tonight after the show, we'll join the Twins in Progress on the road from Boston. And that'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6768 on the text line. Have you addressed why the Panthers didn't go for two? Well, it is our poll question today. We put the question to you, the listener. Would you have gone for two if you were UNI, yes or no?
You have all the momentum. You score in the second overtime. You realize that going into the third overtime, you're already at a disadvantage because you're going to be going on offense first. Yeah, I'd probably go for two in that situation. If you don't get it, you're in exactly the same position that you're in right now, and I know hindsight is 20/20, but I thought at the time, you know, they have to go for two, right?
Nothing to lose except a football game. Right. A football game that really doesn't matter if you're UNI.
Not even a little bit.
Mattered a whole lot to Iowa State, and the Cyclones were able to hang on and hold on for the victory. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, will be with us tonight inside the 5 o'clock hour. Normally we chat with him at 4:30 on Mondays. Due to the Labor Day holiday yesterday, John is going to join us tonight at 5:30. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we return, we'll shift gears a little bit and take a look at a developing story in the National Football League. It appears Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys are close to coming to an agreement. Was this all worth it? Take a look at that and more as the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Bromelkamp.
The Cubs are selling Yu Darvish's skipped start over the weekend as a way to manage the right-hander's workload. Sunday afternoon, the team sent Tyler Chatwood to the mound in place of Darvish, who was scratched due to forearm tightness.
Darvish pitched 40 innings last season due to an injured right elbow, but has thrown north of 150 so far in 2019. Pitching coach Tommy Hottaby told MLB.com's Jordan Bastian the team will continue to keep an eye on Darvish's workload, especially over the final month of the regular season. Dating back to July 1st, Darvish has averaged 89.4 pitches per game, posting a 3.19 ERA with 78 strikeouts and just 3 walks in 62 innings. It remains to be seen when Darvish will be on the mound again for the Cubs, who continue their series with the Mariners at Wrigley Field tonight. John Lester is scheduled to start, with Wilson Contreras back from the injured list working behind the plate.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Start your next project today and save with 11% off everything now at Menards. Check out Menards' huge selection of landscape blocks. Whether it's flawless landscaping, a spacious patio, or a sturdy retaining wall, there's no limit to what you can create. Start building today and save with 11% off all landscape blocks. Sale prices are good through Saturday, September 7th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Wednesdays, we talk sports betting in Iowa with the experts on WagerWise. Miss the show? Catch the WagerWise podcast at kgymradio.com. Brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
One stop left on this three-city, 10-game road trip. Twins in Boston to take on the Red Sox with a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Brawelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, KGYM 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com. We will get to Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys coming up shortly, but I did promise that sometime in the first 30 minutes of the show, we would give you the number to call if you were a cardholder. At Fry Fest on Friday, we handed out cards with individual numbers on them, promising that if you had this card in your hand and we called your number, you can procure it for us. You're going to be the winner of $100. And if we do not get a winner, if somebody does not respond by the top of the hour, we'll draw another number in the 5 o'clock hour. But we're going to go ahead and start with number 64. If you were given card number 64 at Fry Fest by one of our KGYM staffers, 64 just happens to be the uniform number of Kyler Schott, the Hawkeye offensive lineman who burst onto the scene in the opening win over Miami University, 38-14 on Saturday night. If you were given and still possess the card from the KGYM booth that has number 64 on it, give Kyle Mann a call right now at 319-366-1600, and you are the winner of $100. If we don't hear from the holder of card number 64, we will move on. And again, we'll have another number for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I was going to get to Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys here. Some Cubs news to get to as well here in the first hour of the program. But as you and I were discussing during the break, the subject of going for two in Ames Saturday afternoon has picked up a ton of traction on the text line. And I'm assuming at some point the phone lines will start to light up as well. 319-366-1600. Should you and I at some point have gone for two in overtime? yes or no, and show your work. If you feel strongly one way or another, show your work. But opinions seem to be mixed on the text line. I would say a lot of the listeners are saying, you and I should have gone for two.
Were you surprised to not see them go for two in that situation? Because I was. I felt it. That type of situation, you're like, we've laid out the reasons why you think about going for two, and almost every time it never fails. The underdog in that situation is going for two. I thought it was sort of a bold move and a statement by Mark Farley to say, you know what, we feel like we've been the better team all afternoon long. We've been pushing you around. We've been taking it to you, and we can win it in the third overtime. I like that confidence. But you have the ball with a chance at the 3-yard line to have one play to win the game. I was surprised that they didn't go for two in that situation.
7295 says, you and I lost 17 yards in the first overtime. You don't go for two in that spot. Well,
so then you get the ball at the 25 and you have to go back down and do it again. And you have to go for two if you score a touchdown. And then the Iowa State gets the ball second with a chance to know what they have to do to win the game. It turns out they had to score a touchdown because you and I kicked a field. So it's either you move the ball 3 yards and win the game, or start back over on offense having to go 25 yards.
Yeah, I think for the purpose of the discussion here, we can narrow this down to the second overtime.
Right, that one opportunity.
Don't let semantics get in the way here. 319-366-1600, as a couple of the texters have pointed out, when you're on the road, go for the throat. Go for the win. This is sort of David and Goliath here. It's you and I, FCS-level team. As we mentioned or forewarned on Friday, you sort of knew that Iowa State, and certainly when you and I plays Iowa, both of these schools will get you and I's best effort. There are a lot of kids that are wearing purple and gold that were overlooked by Iowa and Iowa State. Those kids probably feel like they could play at that level. This is their chance to prove it. And so it's a bad scenario for a team to get caught sort of back on its heels. And I thought Iowa State played very conservatively. Again, do you see the parallels between Iowa and Iowa State here? I thought Iowa State approached that game as, let's see if we can get by you and I without showing much of what we want to show.
That's exactly what they did.
And the problem was, and I think they realized a little early on, that's not going to be the case. We're going to have to figure out a way to win this game. And luckily for Iowa State, they managed to pull it off in three overtimes. It wasn't pretty. The Cyclones are 1-0 and will be 1-0 when they take the field next against the Hawkeyes. But if you were you and I, if you were Mark Farley, what would you have done, especially in the second overtime? 319-366-1600. Let's head down to Riverside, and Brett is with us. Brett, would you have gone for two if you were Mark Farley?
I think absolutely. If you have the confidence in your team to say we're going to come in here and win the game, then I think you should have the confidence to say, yeah, we can get 3 yards on this one play and win the game at that point. Obviously, as a Hawk fan, I was pretty disappointed the way that went. But I think as a UNI fan, they have to be even more disappointed.
All right. Appreciate the perspective, Brett.
I think the thing that you also have to remember about that play was that touchdown that turned out to tie the game came with Will McElvain scrambling for his life and finding Trevor Allen after running around for about 6 seconds and tiring out the Iowa State defense, finding Trevor Allen in the corner of the end zone. Why not put the ball in his hands again and let him improvise and see if he can't do it again from the 3-yard line to win the game? You have him on the ropes. You just demoralize them with a Johnny Manziel-like play from your freshman quarterback who has saved your butt and put you in this game single-handedly. That and Iowa State's offense couldn't get going. UNI's defense deserves a lot of credit. But Will McIlvain was the reason they were in that situation. Put the ball in his hands one more time after you have had him scramble around and tire the Iowa State defense out and see if he can't do it for you again.
Chad on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line says, UNI was averaging 1.4 yards per catch at that point. The best play would have been a sprint out with Will to McShane in a compressed field that's tough to do. He put his faith on the strength of his program and was a quarter second away from recovering a fumble that would have won the game. Would have, could have, and should have. They didn't. And that's why we play the second guessing game on Sports Talk Radio. If you're UNI, would you have gone for two? Would you have left it all out on the field? The ultimate test of faith in your players to say, we're going for two. We're not going to play a third overtime because we're going to win the damn game right here. And whatever happens, happens. Because I feel at that point, if you lose the game, it's not like you're losing your players in the locker room. I think if you lose the game, you go back to the locker room and the players are looking around going, man, Coach Farley had our back. We let him down, but he had our back. Because you go three overtimes, four overtimes, five overtimes. The longer that game went on, the more and more, I don't want to say comfortable Matt Campbell and the Cyclones had to feel, but there are certain inherent advantages to being an FBS team. And the longer a game goes on against an FCS opponent, you tend to see those advantages. And you get into a third overtime, and it was tough to watch because I felt, okay, they left the door open just wide enough. They're not going to get a fourth crack at this. And Iowa State took advantage.
They took advantage, and that was all she wrote. I couldn't help but see that game and the twists and turns that it took and that last fumble. And I think that is an important point here, how close Iowa State was to losing that game. They were very close, and Mark Farley, his philosophy in that situation, and you could just tell on the sideline that, and the way that he spoke during the week, that they had a quiet confidence about their team this season. And they went into that game guns blazing, thinking that they had every chance to win, that they were going to win that game. And that was throughout the entire day, and including that decision not to go for two. Like I said, that is the, we can win this game. We believe that we're as good as you on this day. Let's take this thing to another overtime. And it nearly worked out for them. But I just look at that situation. And I tweeted this. You can follow me at AlexKuhn523. In Twitter, I was not the only one to say before the play, they have to go for two. They got to go for two. Are they going to go for two? My timeline was overrun with people thinking that they were going to go for two. And they didn't.
I'm just glad that it's apparent that nobody listens to me other than Kyle at this point. Because I did say on Friday that I didn't think you and I had a chance to win that game. And lo and behold, there they were, a two-point conversion away and a second overtime from winning the game. So I stand corrected. I still think Iowa State is going to have a very good season this year. And sometimes you look back at Iowa in 2009, they played that same school.
Yep.
And needed to rely on back-to-back blocked field goals, which I don't think you need to be a mathematician to figure out the statistical probability of that happening is not very good. And Iowa was able to recover from that near heart attack to have one of the best seasons in program history. And there were other moments along the way. That same season, a last-second win against Michigan State comes to mind with Marvin McNutt catching that ball in the end zone at Spartan Stadium. And who knows what happens if there isn't an injury to a certain quarterback in the end zone against Northwestern. But all that aside, a narrow miss in week one does not necessarily mean that the season's going to derail for Iowa State, but they've got to figure out, they being Iowa State, they have to figure out how they're going to move the ball without David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler. Because outside of one receiver who had a high-volume day, it was a little bit of a struggle. And I thought the offensive line was maybe not as good as initially advertised.
They were not very good on Saturday.
And I still think Breece Hall is going to eventually win the lion's share of carries in the backfield for Iowa State. But offensively, defensively, I watched that game against UNI on Saturday before I went to Iowa City, and I thought to myself, this looks a lot like some of Kirk Ferentz's better teams, where the defense is going to be lights out, and the offense is just going to sort of meander its way through the season. And it's going to be frustrating, and you're going to want to pull your hair out at times, and there are going to be games that are too close for comfort, but at the end of the day, you're going to win the majority of them. That's how I feel about Iowa State right now.
I go back to what you talk about with the vanilla offense, that they just didn't want to show anything. That was way too vanilla. The DeShonte Jones was great, 14 catches, but everything was underneath. They did not push the ball down the field at all. I'm trying to get the exact number on attempts further than 10 yards down the field, but it just didn't seem like there were any. It didn't seem like they wanted to do anything that might be put on film and used against them by other Big 12 teams. And you can't go into a game against a team like UNI and think that you're going to blow them out with that type of game plan. So, like I said, how is Matt Campbell going to treat the rest of this non-conference? They have to play, I believe, Louisiana Tech after Iowa. How's he going to treat that game? How is he going to treat the Iowa game? What? Because we have said this about Iowa State teams several years in a row. Well, they 2 years in a row. They look terrible during the non-conference, and then during the Big 12 play, they turn it on. I think they're going to do it again. I think the offense may not be outstanding or one of the best in the Big 12, but it'll be pretty good. But right now, it looks so jumbled and discombobulated and first game-like, and there are some legitimate concerns, including the offensive line.
6109 on the text line says, why do I feel that if you and I would have went for two and missed it, that we'd be talking about why didn't they kick the extra point and going to a third overtime?
I wouldn't.
It would be a footnote, but I'd be sitting here giving you and I credit.
Absolutely.
For going for the jugular on the road.
Like, because I said, that was the decision I would have made.
You are David in this situation. You ain't Goliath. You got to come with as many rocks as you possibly can. Otherwise, you're going to get stepped on. And no, hindsight's always 20/20. We know that, especially in sports talk radio. But if that were the case in the second overtime and they go for it and they don't get it and Iowa State winds up winning, yeah, it's kind of a footnote, but you know what the discussion is? Hey, I'm going to give you and I credit for going to Ames and trying to win that football game and realizing, as I think most people understand, the longer that thing dragged on, the less and less probable a positive outcome for you and I was going to be at that point. So, honest to God, that would be my approach on that. They didn't kick the field goal. If they went for two and they didn't get it, I'd still be sitting here giving them credit for it. 319-366-1600 and Cheddar, we got plenty of talk about Iowa. Already, first 30 minutes of the program, more to come. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, set to join us. Cheddar says, no concerns about the Hawks after this weekend? ? They let Miami hang around for way too long. Nothing looked crisp and clean on Iowa's part. As a fan of another Big Ten team, I cannot wait to play the Hawks. It's week one. It's the first week of the season. Nobody is a finished product at this point. And I think Iowa had some warts. certainly losing Alaric Jackson early on and throwing things into a little bit of a disarray on the offensive line didn't help, but they recovered nicely. Nate Stanley, when he doesn't need to throw the ball downfield for a big play, I think he shines. And my wife actually said that on Saturday, I should say on Sunday, when I got the chance to talk to her. I said, hey, did you watch the game? What did you think? And we don't talk about football and work a whole lot, because when I get home, I don't want to talk about work, because I just, no, when I walk out the door at night, it's the last thing I want to think about. And unprompted, she said, you know, if Nate Stanley could throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field, he'd be an NFL caliber quarterback. And I thought, do you have a burner phone? Are you texting into the show? Because going into the season, we had that stupid question about what's the biggest question mark, your area of concern, and we had so many people saying Nate Stanley. And yeah, when he's looking for that deep ball, the touch just isn't quite there. But it's enough to make you wonder, man, if things ever clicked, if he could figure out how to put it on the money beyond 10 to 15 yards on a consistent basis, that'd be a game changer. 319-366-1600, Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. Kyle, have we heard from card number 64? No, we have not. So we will be picking another number from our Fry Fest giveaway in the 5 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. Somebody is going to hopefully win $100 just for having stopped by and said hi at our booth at Fry Fest. It's 4:54. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. Back after this.
The word taxes probably makes you cringe. Hi, I'm Craig Adamson. Creating a tax avoidance strategy now gives you the best opportunity to beat Uncle Sam at his own game. Let's sit down and chat before December 31st so you can be the winner on tax day. Contact me at truewealthstewardship.com to get started.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Get ready, Solon. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
How are you spending your Labor Day weekend? How about not spending as much? Come into the Home Depot and save up to 40% on appliance special buys. Get a Samsung washer and dryer for just $4.98 each. Prevent your clothes from being frayed and your budget from being snagged. See why with Labor Day savings. Today is the day for doing. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. While supplies last. Gas dryer extra. See store for details. Valid through September 11th.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
School's back in session, and at AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to get your ride ready. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Members get a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times. If you're looking to reward your ride, get a 50-pack of Pro Elite Grab and Clean microfiber towels for only $19.99. They help you clean and protect your vehicle to give it a shiny finish. Visit us at AutoZone.com to start the job fast. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Are you experiencing anxiety?
Am I going crazy?
Intense cravings?
Ah.
Delirium? If so, you may be experiencing football withdrawal.
Oh, thank goodness.
Clinical studies suggest a heavy dose of face painting, screaming at the top of your lungs, and setting your radio dial right here on the Panthers Sports Network.
Saturday, the Panthers host Southern Utah. Coverage begins at 3 o'clock on the gym. 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
4:58, welcome back in. You just can't win with some people. The text line pointing out that Iowa had 465 yards of offense or whatever it was. 460 yards of offense on Saturday night. They did that 7 times in the last 11 years. LOL, they're fine. No one said they weren't. Did anybody say Iowa wasn't in good shape?
I think that texture was referring to the text that we got from Cheddar.
Oh.
About the concerns of not putting Miami, Ohio away earlier.
As a fan of another Big Ten school,
yes.
He was licking his chops at, well, okay. My selective outrage is on the shelf there, 7099. I apologize. I thought you were directing that tweet toward us. And I'm thinking, what the hell did we do? We will give you another number, an opportunity to take home $100 from us from Fry Fest. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, plus more Hawkeye and Cyclone talk. We'll start with Iowa. Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com will kick things off at 5 o'clock. And John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, will let us know how many Tums he needed to consume after that season-opening win over the Panthers. It's all on the way in the 5 o'clock hour next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. With the season opener against the Giants less than a week away, the Cowboys and running back Ezekiel Elliott are very close to an agreement on a contract that would end his holdout, according to ESPN's Ed Werder. Elliott and his agent traveling to Dallas. Team owner Jerry Jones said earlier today he's hopeful to have Elliott available for week one, and even a late arriving Zeke benefits the Cowboys this Sunday, points out ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum.
He may sign later in this week. And maybe he can't get the whole full load, but if it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, if I'm the Cowboys, I'd rather have Zeke Elliott on 2 days' work protecting Dak Prescott than a rookie in Tony Pollard, who, in fairness, over time could be a really good pass protector. He just doesn't have the experience doing it that Zeke Elliott has.
Baseball Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras returns from a hamstring injury, is in the starting lineup tonight versus the Mariners. Chicago third baseman Chris Bryant out with right knee soreness. Ian Happ now playing third tonight. Yankee slugger Edwin Encarnacion back after missing a month with a broken wrist. He'll bat fifth and DH tonight against the Rangers.
Coming up Wednesday, happy NFL Eve. It's the last day without real, meaningful NFL game. We prime you for the season 100 by ranking running backs, plus the latest from the U.S. Open, and of course more. Wednesday in Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
The Sports Center update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Today, business happens here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, Who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Will Cain Show.
You cannot win with Antonio Brown. You can't win with a me guy. I don't care how many 1,500-yard seasons. I don't care if it's in the divisional round. I don't care if it's in week 7. It will come crashing down for Antonio Brown and whoever employs him, because Antonio Brown is about Antonio Brown.
The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
5:04, welcome back in. Hour number 2 of 3, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. Stay tuned, because in about 15 minutes, we're going to give you another chance to win $100 if you were one of the folks who stopped by to say hi when we were at Fry Fest on Friday. Always great getting a chance to see and chat with our listeners. First-time folks who have stopped by, people we haven't met before, or I know Ed in Iowa City, Ann in Solon, a number of folks who stopped by and said hi that we have met before. I didn't see Sonny. Sometimes we see Sonny at Fry Fest. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, is joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to some MLB and NFL news. NFL kicks off this week, Thursday night, the Bears and the Packers. I know our next guest is very excited about that. We're talking Hawkeye football and more with Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com. And Tom, Mark Morehouse and I were walking out of the football facility today talking about that Thursday night game against the Bears and the Packers, and neither one of us are overly optimistic. Now, you're a Bears fan, so you tell me, what are your thoughts? What are your expectations for Thursday night's opener?
You know, it's an interesting game, because I don't really know what to expect from the Packers, because it's a new regime and it's a new coaching staff, maybe a new offense. But here's the thing I always come back to. The Bears have had success against the Packers when Aaron Rodgers is quarterback, when Aaron Rodgers is not healthy. And I expect he's going to be fully healthy. And when he's been fully healthy, he has been a nightmare for the Chicago Bears. So that's kind of where I come down on it.
Well, other than the NFL, let's talk Hawkeye football here. Iowa, a 38-14 winner over Miami on Saturday night. Did you like what you saw from Iowa?
I did. You know what it reminded me of was, in some ways, not just how it played out, was like last year. It was like a 3-0 game, and it was kind of boring in the first half. And then Iowa kind of got their legs under them a little bit, got more comfortable, and then pulled away for an easy win. And I thought we saw that. What I did really like, though, was the passing game. And Nate Stanley's under scrutiny, but I thought he had a really good game. Threw for over 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, didn't have any turnovers on his ledger, and spread the ball around. 10 different receivers catching a pass. I like the way things are going. And, we've talked so much about the run game, before this season, and it was much, much better. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum is really good at center. He's going to be a terrific player, the next 4 years for Iowa at center. And, as Kirk said today, Tristan Wirfs had his best game as a Hawkeye.
What about Mekhi Sargent? We saw flashes of him a little bit last year, and he had a fine season, but it just looked like he had a little extra burst in that first game against on Saturday.
Both he and Torn Young, I thought, had a little extra burst. They were just running hard and more decisively. I think there's a couple times where Mekhi may have pitter-pattered a little bit, and maybe instead of just decisively hitting the outside or going back inside. But for the most part, I thought he was really good and ran very, very hard. And I really liked, what Torn did and even Tyler Goodson in his minutes. I thought he was pretty good in the snaps that he got.
What does Goodson's emergence mean for the depth chart, and particularly a certain running back who was behind him in carries on Saturday?
Yeah, the guy who started last season as Iowa's number one running back, Ivory Kelly Martin. And my contention was that they were just trying to get minutes for get some snaps for Tyler in that first game and get something under his belt more than anything else. And I think Ivory's going to be out there eventually at some point.
Let's talk about the passing game and the receivers. Oliver Martin gets on the field, his second play. Fade pattern to the corner, gets good separation off press coverage. I know it's early, but is it sort of becoming apparent that as long as he gets the playbook down, eventually this season he is going to be a pretty big factor in this offense?
Yeah, I think so. He only got 10 snaps, didn't play in the first half, and everybody's kind of wondering, when's Oliver going to get in? It's just been this dominant storyline about Oliver Martin for many weeks, and then on the second snap, he ends up catching a touchdown pass. So it was funny talking to him after the game, and I don't know if you were over there when he said it, but he was like, I'm just enjoying talking about football instead of the other stuff. So I think they're going to integrate him more and more, and it really just gives them even better depth, because you look at, we know what Amir Smith-Marset and we know what Brandon Smith can do. We've seen now a good amount of Nico Reganey, and I think he's really good. And then you can see Tyrone Tracy emerging as well. So it gives them five guys that they can go to in the passing game and feel really good about what you're going to get when those guys are out there. And they need that this year without the security blanket of Hockenson and Fant out there to make plays.
Tom Kager with us of HawkeyeReport.com. Alaric Jackson will miss the Big Ten opener against Rutgers on Saturday. Sounds like Iowa State's a no-go as well, and then the Hawkeyes have a week off. What do you think the chances are we see him against Middle Tennessee State?
It's one of those that will be, I think, an interesting decision for Kirk. On one hand, you kind of want to get him out there, test out that knee and that sprain, and make sure it's feeling good, and get him some reps just so he can be ready to go when they have to go to Ann Arbor the following week. But on the other hand, you don't want to risk anything. And they can probably beat Middle Tennessee without Tristan Wirfs, but he would certainly help them against Michigan, and you don't want to risk another potential injury to him.
How sort of comforting was it that for Iowa that they were able to switch things around and put some guys in, and seemingly all of them performed pretty well along that offensive line?
That was huge. I think everybody's writing a Kyler Schott feature today that covers Iowa, just because he was kind of an interesting story coming out of that game. But they were able to move the pieces around, and that's kind of the preparation that they do. And we see that in the practices where they're going to move like a Levi Paulson. He's going to play guard and he's going to play tackle, and they're going to move the different guys around and get different combinations out there. And that serves them well in a situation where Alaric goes out, and they're able to plug other guys in and not really miss a beat.
Tom, by the way, there is only one shooter, and that is Rod Beck. That nickname is spoken for. We need to address that with the Iowa football office. It apparently stems from Tim Polasek not even knowing how to pronounce his name, right?
Yeah, that's what he was saying today, that Coach Polasek gave him that name and just called him Shooter. And he said everybody calls him Shooter. They don't even call him Kyler or Shot or anything. I think Shooter McGavin might come after you for that too, but we'll see.
Hey, we got some people who are a little uneasy about AJ Epenesa's stat line on Saturday night. Can you talk those folks off the edge? Miami was doing a lot to take him out of the game.
Yeah, they were chipping at him a lot. When I went back and watched it on Sunday, it just seemed like they were, you know, there's a tight end that chipped at him or a back that chipped at him. They just had, you know, kind of two guys focused on him. They shifted a lot of their line towards that side, I thought, and just, you know, their teams are going to game plan against them. There's no Anthony Nelson on the other side that, you know, the Anthony Nelson, an NFL draft pick was on the other side, and people had to account for him at all times, and they didn't have that. They don't have that now. So they're going to have to figure out some ways. My thought was move AJ around a little bit and see if that can get more action for him. And I think he'll figure it out. He's a smart kid, and they'll adjust.
Tom, we chatted with Kayvon Merriweather earlier in the day, and he was talking about the fact that everything that they game planned for in Miami's playbook from last year, almost none of it was run by Chuck Martin's team, and they were kind of having to change on the fly. When you look at the defense and their performance, yeah, there were some holes early, but how would you assess their performance, and what are the biggest concerns on that side of the ball right now?
I thought it was solid. It's kind of like last year against Iowa's offense, where I remember last couple of years, I remember Wyoming did it too. They threw a whole bunch of stuff at Iowa that they weren't expecting, just kind of against what they usually do in that opening game, and confused them. And I think that's kind of what Miami did. The big thing was, and the thing that Kayvon said was communication. They've got to communicate better. And you saw one of those moments in the first half, early in the second quarter, when DJ Johnson, a young guy, communication broke down with him and Michael Ojemudia. And I think it was Mayock got that long game down to the 1 yard line. So they've got to just improve that communication on the back end. And once they figure that out, Phil Parker's defense has always figured it out, especially in the secondary. So I think it'll get there, but it's got to get better, because they're going to face a lot of teams that pass, and including one this weekend in Rutgers, where the quarterback threw for over 300 yards.
Tom Kaker with us, HawkeyeReport.com. Rutgers, game two of the season. This is going to take a little getting used to. I know the Hawkeyes did this back in the 70s, where they played Big Ten games early on, but probably the least surprising news of the Kirk Ferentz media availability today, he's not a fan of this, is he?
No, he's not. I joked with a friend of mine the other day. I said, it feels weird to have a Big Ten game this early in the season, but it also feels weird to keep saying that Rutgers is in the Big Ten. So, I guess it's interesting. I think Kirk would prefer something a little different and maybe a little less complicated or a little less meaningful, because Big Ten games mean more. And before the Iowa State game, because I think he kind of likes to ramp up to that one.
Now, I say this knowing exactly how bad Rutgers was last season, but this is, at least from what we saw against UMass, this looks like at least a much better offense that Rutgers will be putting on the field than what they had last year, right?
Yeah, their quarterback is a transfer from Texas Tech, so, you know, he knows how to pass, and he's going to be out there throwing the ball around quite a bit. But he also threw three picks in the opener, so he likes to take chances, and Iowa's secondary usually under Phil Parker will feast on situations like that where they're able to get some turnovers. So that might be something to watch. They've got some explosive players, both their running backs, Blackshear, and I think the other guy's named Pacheco. They're both really explosive, run hard. But UMass is really bad, and they were down. Rutgers was down 14-0 to them before they finally got things going in the right direction.
Iowa's a 20-point favorite this weekend. What do you think we see from the Hawkeyes as far as final score goes? Are they going to be able to impose their will on this Rutgers team, or is this going to be a little too close for comfort going into the Iowa State game?
I get the sense it might feel a lot like last week. It might be more points in the first half, but I think what you'll see is Iowa, eventually second half, they'll make a few adjustments, they'll figure things out, and they'll end up with a fairly comfortable win.
You think we're going to continue to see a lot of personnel used in the non-conference offensively, not just the receiving core, but the running backs? And we've talked about Tyler Goodson, but a lot of the ball was spread around, not only in the running game, but in the passing game a lot against Miami. You think we'll see that moving forward the next couple of games?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a point of emphasis for them, is to get a lot of guys' touches, get a lot of guys involved, especially in the passing game. I think from the run perspective, at least in closer games, we're going to see a lot of Torin and a lot of Mekhi Sargent, and that's going to be the guys that kind of do most of the heavy lifting. I don't think we'll see as much of Goodson or Ivory Kelly in the closer games. I do think that passing game is going to just spread it around, get it to guys. The one thing we didn't really see was a lot of kind of down the field shots that we're able to hit. Some of that was why Brian Ferentz got in a little trouble on Saturday, because on that play, Amir Smith-Marset was clearly held, but wasn't called. But I think they're going to get some of those shots this week.
Tom Kaker with us, HawkeyeReport.com. Among the freshmen that we did see on Saturday night, were there any that you were surprised made their debut?
Not super surprised. Sam Laporta, but you kind of thought that they'd have to play one of those tight ends this year, kind of to just get them ready for duty next year and more of a bulk form. So they got him out there. I'd keep an eye on Justin Britt. Kirk sang his praises today, but I heard some stuff in camp that they really think he could, help him by, midseason or so. It wouldn't completely shock me to see him contending for a lot of snaps and almost a starting role, just because they like his makeup so much. Of course, that was before the legend of Kyle Schott was born, and now he's going to be a guy that's, I think, going to get quite a bit of work as well.
Before we let you go, what were your reactions from some of the other Big Ten games this weekend? Anything surprise you?
I think we were all sleeping on Wisconsin and thinking that maybe they weren't, everybody's kind of like, well, maybe their time has passed and this will be one of those years where they're not as good. And I mean, if their quarterback play improves, because Cone missed some throws on Friday night, but if that gets going, I mean, they could have put up 63 on South Florida the other night. And on the other hand, Northwestern, I mean, everybody was hyping up the five-star quarterback that's coming in, and he did not look good in that game from the highlights that I saw and talking to some people. So it's going to be I'm really focused on the Big Ten West. Minnesota just kind of looked slow up front, and they weren't very explosive. Kind of what we maybe some of the darlings of the Big Ten West didn't look as good as I think people thought they would.
What are we going to do with Purdue?
I don't know. That was a weird game.
It was bizarre.
Some of it. Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought they were in total control of that game and they were going to cruise to a win. And it's just like they froze up. And Jeff Brohm, Mr. Aggressive coach, just kind of turtled up a little bit and didn't control that game and didn't milk that game the way I think he should have, and really didn't lost some of his aggression too. So, I don't know. They've got Vandy this weekend. I think they'll get healthy there, but I'm just not sold on them. Their secondary certainly struggled a little bit.
Tom, appreciate it as always, and enjoy that Thursday night opener, Bears and Packers.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks again for having me on.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Give him and Blair Sanderson and the folks over there a follow if you're a Hawkeye fan and you're not already on board. Blair, who does an outstanding job covering recruiting, covered a lot of ground there. A lot of the ground that we had already sort of disked up on the first hour of the program today, but it sounds like Tom has a lot of the same takeaways from that opener that I did, that, you know, Iowa went in with a game plan. They were able to execute the game plan. They got a lot of guys on the field. Maybe we won't see that this weekend against Rutgers unless the opportunity presents itself, but it does give them sort of an interesting dilemma on their hands at this point, because it's only the second week of the season, but you got a Big Ten game that you're gearing up for. So how do you change your approach to getting ready for Rutgers as opposed to getting ready for the Miami Redhawks?
Yeah, doesn't that sort of feel like a disadvantage? That's something that I don't hear talked about a lot. That feels like a disadvantage for the teams that have to play in week two against a conference opponent, because conference opponents, whether you're Kirk Ferentz or Nick Saban or whoever, conference opponents are treated completely differently. Your scouting level of conference opponents is so much different than the way that you scout non-conference opponents. Therefore, your game plan is more in-depth. You're having to show more things. You're having to use a bunch of different plays, use different personnel. You're putting more on film, whereas a lot of your conference opponents aren't playing a conference game until 2 or 3 weeks later. That feels like a big disadvantage that nobody really even talks about when discussing these early season Big Ten games.
Well, you can go ahead and put it on your calendar right now. And Kirk Ferentz joked about not looking that far ahead, and we don't even know whether he'll still be coaching Iowa in 2021. He's going to be under contract at that point. But Iowa will open the 2021 season September 4th at Kinnick Stadium against the Indiana Hoosiers. So right out of the gate, and we saw Northwestern and Purdue do this last season, and we talked about the merits of it, whether we liked it or not at that time, but no non-conference games to figure out how to shake the rust off. You're going to go right into Big Ten play in 2021. I'm not a huge fan of this either, and like Tom pointed out, this at least has still the feel of when they had the 8-game schedule in the Big Ten, and so you played 4 non-conference games. This feels like Rutgers is still not a member of the Big Ten. So if you look at it from that standpoint, Iowa's non-conference schedule this year is Miami, Rutgers at Iowa State and Middle Tennessee State. That makes a little more sense than saying you go from week one right into Big Ten play. It's an 11:05 kickoff on Saturday morning. That means before the boom is going to come your way at 9 a.m. Saturday morning on 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM, our in-house produced Hawkeye pregame show. We invite you to tune in on our FM frequencies. We never did hear from card number 64, so let's try another number. Let's try card number 42. If you are holding card number 42 from FryFest on Friday, we handed these out to folks who stopped by and introduced themselves. Maybe some of you just took a card. I don't know. My guess is as good as yours. Card number 42. If you've got that card and can prove it to us, you're going to win a $100 check from our good friend Loretta at the front of the office. All you need to do is pick up the phone and give us a call at 319-366-1600. Caller, card holder number 42. And just in case, the first number we called today was 64. We never heard from 64. So just in case, maybe they just turned the radio on, 64 or 42, 319-366-1600. We'll let you know if we have a winner. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle's going to get you another big board update. And then the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, John Walters, will be with us as we recap a wild ride a 3-overtime win over you and I last Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool, complain about the construction, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall downtown Iowa City.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Friday afternoon at 3, tune in to 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. The gym class will be coming to you live from Linmar before their matchup with Kennedy. This is Scott Unash, and I'll be your host alongside Mark Dukes. Countdown to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
One stop left on this three-city, 10-game road trip. Twins in Boston to take on the Red Sox with a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in. 5:30, halfway home on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And online at KGYMRadio.com, where we ask you today our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. If you were you and I, would you have gone for two in overtime against Iowa State? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We'll hear momentarily from the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, Mr. John Walters. Normally we chat with him on Mondays, but due to the Labor Day holiday yesterday, he was kind enough to agree to join us today. We can't get to John until the man who will be responsible for calling him gives you a big board update three times a day. Our producer, Kyle Mann, lets you know what's going on in the Eastern Iowa sports scene. Big board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber.
The Hawkeyes beat Miami of Ohio 38-14 on Saturday night and earned themselves a bump up to 20th in today's AP poll. And today, Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media to address some questions and look ahead to week two. He confirmed that offensive lineman Alaric Jackson avoided disaster. His injury was just a sprain, so he could return as early as the Middle Tennessee State game in week four. He also said cornerback Riley Moss will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury, and Julius Brents will continue to miss time from the secondary as well. The one bit of positive news is that Cole Banwert may be ready to step back in this weekend. Iowa State had a much tougher time with UNI, requiring three overtimes to beat the Panthers 29-26, but they also remain in the AP poll today at 25th. Starting center Colin Newell suffered a knee sprain in that game, but Campbell says his outlook is better than expected at first, calling him day-to-day, and running back Kenny Anwangu is also said to be day-to-day with an injury as the Cyclones head into their bye week. Aside from quarterback Will McIlvain, it was kicker Matt Cook who starred for the Panthers in that near upset, and today he was rewarded with the FCS National Special Teams Player of the Week honors. The true freshman Cedar Falls native went 4-for-4 with makes from 49 and 50 yards. Other big news for UNI sports fans today is the announcement that the school will start selling alcohol at all football and men's basketball games. That's going to begin this weekend for the team's home opener. Tonight after the show, we'll join the Twins in progress on the road in Boston on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Colonels beat Beloit yesterday 9-3. They begin the Midwest League playoffs with the best of three series tomorrow against the Quad Cities River Bandits. Game one set to take place at Veterans Memorial Stadium at 6:35. Other baseball news and notes. No Chris Bryant scratched from the Cubs lineup tonight against the Mariners at Wrigley Field. And Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller makes his next start tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's going to be taking on the Miami Marlins at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. No word yet from any of our card holders, so stay tuned. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, if we have not had a winner yet, we'll give you one more opportunity to take home $100 just for having stopped by to say hi to us at Fry Fest. But it's 5:33. We're all sorts of discombobulated due to the Labor Day holiday. Normally, we hear from John Walters at 4:30 on Monday. 5:30 on Tuesday is just as good as 4:30 on Monday. John's appearance brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. And John, it's Tuesday. Have you exhaled yet from Saturday?
Just barely, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a crazy game, and not totally unexpected that it would be hard-fought and a battle. I certainly expected Coach Farley's team to be ready to roll and be excited to play, and then they were, and they played great. And Iowa State's not typically too strong out of the gate, so I'm not completely surprised that it was close. But three overtimes, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I expected three overtimes.
You mentioned the talk about Iowa State out of the gate and non-conference games doesn't always get off to the best start. Is it maybe apparent that Matt Campbell sort of takes the non-conference games as more of an evaluation process, and then getting into the Big 12, this team kind of traditionally turns things on?
Well, I think he wants to win first and foremost, but I think he really does approach the season as a whole with a 20,000 foot view on how are we going to get to where we can be the best team we can be at the end of the season. And I've talked to Tom Manning, the offensive coordinator, about this in the past, and he's mentioned that, you know, they're going to try to do things that well before they move on to the next thing. So I'm not surprised that the playbook looked pretty limited in week one. Not that you're necessarily working in a ton of young players, but at the same time, just establish something that you do well and then move on to the next thing. I think that's always been their approach, regardless of who they're playing. And then over the course of a season, you'll see a lot more put in. But you know, they outgained Northern Iowa by 200 yards. I mean, it wasn't like they were in a bad position there offensively or defensively. The defense was dominant against the run. But they gave up that touchdown on the turnover. Whether you think it was a forward pass or not doesn't matter, but that really almost turned the game completely. And that was the only touchdown Northern Iowa scored in regulation. So I think you'll, and I mentioned this, you know, to you a week ago, I think you'll see Iowa State, especially early in the season, probably play a little bit more conservatively offensively just because they know they have a great defense. They're going to rely on that defense. And I think that's part of what we saw on Saturday. But I think another part of it, too, is, you know, Brock Purdy didn't run the football, but they're trying to keep Brock Purdy healthy for a full season. They want him out there the whole way through. And the last Iowa State quarterback to do that was Brett Maher. It's been a while since the quarterback's made it all the way through the year. And so, you know, you didn't see Brock take off and run. It happened one time. He scored a touchdown. It was called back on a hold. But that adds a big dimension to Iowa State's offense when he runs the football. And I think over time, you'll see more and more of that. But I think especially early in the season, they're just trying to keep it a little bit, just kind of baby steps, and that's what we saw on Saturday.
What did you think of the breakdown of carries in the backfield, and did any one of those guys stick out to you?
I was really, really pleased with the running backs. I wouldn't say any one of them stood out more than the rest of them, and maybe that's a good thing. All four of them played well. Kenadi Longo really gave Iowa State a shot in the arm at a time when they needed it. On their touchdown drive in regulation, he's the guy that got it all started with those three straight runs, and that was great to see. And then, of course, he left, unfortunately, with whatever kind of an injury it was, but it didn't seem too serious, but he did come out. But, you know, Johnny Lang had his moments where he ran really well. I thought Sheldon Crony at the end of the game, it was awesome to see him do what he did in the final quarter and into the overtimes to be able to get all his yardage in that period. And really, I thought he was playing throughout the game as maybe the best pass protector, so that's why he was getting as many snaps as he did. And then, Breece Hall, I think we just saw a glimpse of what he can do. But I thought all four of them played well. None of them were great, but none of them were bad. And I thought the offensive line was adequate as far as run blocking. I didn't think they were very good on pass protection, but it's the first game, and you tend to overreact to that a little bit. But I really do feel pretty decent about the ability of Iowa State to run the football this year, and it's going to be important. If they're going to be successful, they're going to have to run the football and stop the run.
What did you see from the receiving corps as a whole? We saw LaMichael Petway get in there, a few catches and two touchdowns. DeShonte Jones, 14 catches. But like you said, the passing game played, they were pretty conservative in their play calling, but some guys stepped up, and it just seems like there's a lot of experimentation going on at that position.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. You know, and allow me to just go ahead and stick my foot right in my mouth for saying, you know, last week that they were going to really spread the ball around and you wouldn't probably see one guy get a ton of catches. And then DeShonte Jones comes out and gets 14 catches in week one, you know. So you never know what you're going to see. But I think they threw a lot of underneath stuff. They didn't throw the ball down the field at all, really. And I expect that to be something that as the season goes on, they add more and more of that as well. That was really part of the conservativeness of the game plan, was just doing the underneath stuff. And it was good. They did it well. And again, that's Tom Manning's deal. Do something well, then move on to the next thing. And so I think they did the underneath stuff pretty well. And DeShonte was a huge part of that. But really pleased with him. I think we haven't even begun to see what Joe Skates can do. I'm really excited about that. But he was out there and he threw some really good blocks on big plays in the offensive game. So I think he's got a bright, bright future. But Tariq Milton was not as much of a factor as I thought he was going to be in this game, but I think going forward he will be. He's kind of the deep threat and the guy with the speed to get down the field and behind the defense. If they do start throwing it deep, I think he'll probably be that target. And I think Landon Akers will become more and more of a factor coming out of that end position over time as well. But, I'm pleased with it. I think it's a work in progress like the rest of this football team. And, you know, we'll probably be saying a lot of different things in week six and week seven than we are in week one. But that's just the development of a team and the development of a season and the ebb and flow that comes with it. And you're definitely going to be a different team in November than you are in August.
John Walters' weekly appearance brought to you by huge Cyclone fan Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. John, we've taken a lot of phone calls and had a good discussion today with you and I and Iowa State fans alike about whether the Panthers should have gone for two at some point in double overtime, triple overtime. They didn't get the opportunity to. Were you expecting Mark Farley to maybe go for two there in double overtime?
I really was. I really was. I thought, you know, they had the momentum. Let me just preface this by saying he knows a heck of a lot more about his team and what he's doing than I do. But I really thought he would go for two. I was surprised that they didn't. And it might have backfired. You know, they might not have. And as it turns out, they almost won the football game anyway. I mean, if they get on that fumble, they win the game. And thankfully, Brock Purdy made a huge play and got on that ball. But he obviously knows what he's doing, and he knows his team very well. But I was a little bit surprised. I thought there was a little bit of an element there of, okay, we got him on the ropes, let's go for the knockout punch. And I was a little bit surprised that they did kick that extra point in the second overtime.
John, you've covered Iowa State playing you and I the two of the last 3 years. How much of an element does Will McElvain account for in that offense, an added layer of what they can do?
Well, that's really impressive. That kid was super impressive to me. I couldn't have been more impressed by him. And, you know, Northern Iowa did not, you know, chew up a ton of yardage or anything like that. It's not like they had 500 yards of offense, but he did exactly what the coaches asked him to do. And, you know, and he did a great job of keeping plays alive with his feet and looking down the field and having a ton of poise. I mean, that's the thing that you would say first and foremost about that guy is what an amazing amount of poise for a young player to just kind of hang in there and understand the situation and not try to do something crazy. And he made a lot of great plays. That's a really bright future for that kid. And, you know, I think that the most effective plays Northern Iowa had offensively mostly were broken plays, which is probably a tip of the hat to Iowa State's defense when it was just line up and run it or try a pass pattern. Usually Iowa State defended it pretty well, but man, when the play broke down and McElvain was improvising, that's when he was most dangerous. Guys like that, you're almost better off keeping them in the pocket than letting them escape it, because once they get outside it, they seem to be in their comfort zone. And as a guy who's 5'10 and was an outstanding intramural quarterback, I can understand. you get out of the little space and you find a little room to run, and then you can make a play down the field. I'm just kidding about being outstanding, but it was fun to watch him play for sure.
Yeah, I say the same thing about hosting this program, John. Given his druthers, would Matt Campbell like a game this weekend to clean some things up before Iowa, or is this a good opportunity for them to go over things in the film, not have to worry about playing another game, and get an additional week to clean things up?
Well, he said before the game, and I think he still feels this way, that they're better off having that bye week right where it is. He wanted to evaluate that first game, have some time to really break it down and try to correct some things, and also to figure out what they're good at and they're not so good at, and try to work on their strengths and you know, keep pushing the game plan in that direction. So I think it was really good timing for Iowa State. And, you know, I'll come back to the fact that the season, even though the games start August 31st, the season, you know, the grind starts in late July, early August when you start practice. And so really you're 5 or 6 weeks into it. It's not a bad time for a break and to kind of collect yourself and reevaluate what you did well and didn't do so well in week one, and then go forward. And then I like the fact that the other bye is in early November, and you know, you get into that stretch run, it's nice to get a little break in there, too. So I think the byes actually work out really well for Iowa State. If they only had one bye, I'd want it to be smack dab in the middle of the season. But when you get two of them, I like this idea of one early, one late. I think that works out real well.
I want to come back to the running backs for just a second. What did you think of the way that Sheldon Cronie ran the ball late in that game when he finally got his opportunity?
That was awesome. I was really pleased with Sheldon. I mean, the one thing I wasn't expecting was for him to hurdle a defender. I mean, that, you know, he's been always kind of the grinder, the dependable guy, the guy that doesn't make the flashy play. And then here he was making a really flashy play. Not that I would recommend him to do it again, but it was an impressive play, to say the least. And he had a lot of really good plays. And as I mentioned earlier, he really did a nice job in protecting Brock Purdy, probably better than any of the running backs did in that category. So I think Sheldon's going to be an important part of what Iowa State does. He's the one senior in that room. I really will be surprised if we see a running back emerge in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Now, maybe by week 6, week 7, somebody will emerge as the guy that is out there, you know, 80, 90% of the time. But I think they like what they get from all these different guys, and they all bring a little something to the table, and you keep them all fresh that way, too. So I think he'll continue to see his opportunities for sure.
John, anything surprise you about some of the other Big 12 games in week one?
You know, pleased that everybody won. I think that's first and foremost. I'm unbelievably impressed with Hurts and what he did in a debut. I mean, just amazing. And it just shows you what Lincoln Riley is all about. And I would say the same thing about Mike Gundy, because Oklahoma State's freshman quarterback was super impressive, I thought, at Oregon State. Their defense wasn't great, but, man, Sanders was running the ball much faster than I thought he was. Really accurate passer, too. So I think they found something there at Oklahoma State. He's going to be a really good player. And, you know, I was impressed that West Virginia was able to beat James Madison. And that might sound funny, but, you know, West Virginia lost a lot. They lost a lot of guys. And I thought they might get upset in that game. Same goes for Kansas, you know, beating a really good Indiana State team that's, you know, picked pretty high in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. That was a good win for Kansas to get it rolling. So, you know, good start. But obviously the games are going to get tougher and tougher. But I think as a whole, the league is pretty good. I watched the Baylor game. Charlie Brewer is really a very, very good quarterback. And that's something that's been said, you know, in this league for a lot of years. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the Big 12 Conference. And I think that's shaping up, you know, to be the case again this year. When you talk about Hurts and Brewer and Purdy and Sanders, and you know, the list goes on and on of really talented quarterbacks. So I think it's going to be another fun year in the Big 12. Maybe not quite as wide open and crazy offensively as some other years have been, but it's going to be an awesome race, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma State first. Is that the team with a scary offense in the Big 12 that nobody's talking about? Chuba Hubbard looked outstanding, and Tylan Wallace, we already know what he can do, coming off a nearly 1,500-yard receiving year a year ago.
Yeah, that could be one of those Mike Gundy teams where we've seen it before. You know, when they had Mason Rudolph and James Washington, and, you know, it seems like when you talk about teams that are able to put a running back, quarterback, wide receiver combination on the field of dynamic players, Oklahoma State is almost always seems to be in that conversation. And I agree with you. I think Hubbard right now is probably about as good a running back as there is in the Big 12. Sanders is just a freshman, but he looked really good, and he ran for over 100 and threw for close to 300. He's going to be a dynamic player. And then Wallace is as good a receiver as there is in the league. So I think their offense is scary. They've got a really bright, young offensive coordinator in Gleason, who came from Princeton, where he ran a lot of crazy stuff. And so, you know, you put the nutty professor together with, you know, Mike Gundy, and they're going to come up with some pretty creative stuff. And so I think they're going to be really good offensively all year. But the question with them is going to be how good can they be defensively if they're going to be in the race right to the end.
Well, what are you going to do with some time off this weekend, John? Spend it with your family, watch football? What goes on during a bye week in the Walters household?
Yeah, I'll probably watch a lot of football. I am going to do some volleyball this year for Cyclones.tv as well. And so going to jump on there and do color on Friday and Sunday. They play Penn State, Louisiana State. So it's not quite a week off, but it's going to be fun to see Christie's team in action against two really good teams. So looking forward to that, too.
Well, John, we appreciate you accommodating us and joining us on Tuesday as opposed to Monday, and we'll be back to our regular schedule next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. His appearance once again brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner, and most importantly, a big Iowa State backer. We appreciate Craig's support of having John on with us during the football seasons and basketball season. 4:30 on Monday, the traditional time slot for John's appearance with us. But due to Labor Day yesterday, we had him with us today. And there you go. Matt Campbell likes the early bye period, early bye week and late bye week that the Cyclones have this year. Gives them an opportunity. I personally would want a game this week against another lesser level team to try to, in real time, figure out some things that need to be fixed after week one. But we'll see whether this benefits them or hinders them against Iowa next weekend at Jack Trice Stadium. My guess is that they'll benefit. They'll be all right. They'll do just fine.
Yeah, it's good that they have a couple of weeks to get ready for Iowa, because they have some things to clean up. As much as we can say it's early, they'll figure it out. I think they will. That was not pretty. The offensive line is still a major question mark for me.
Neither one of these, Iowa and Iowa State, neither game really left you walking away impressed, in my opinion. Now, I know Iowa 460 yards, and they took care of Miami. They covered the spread, but I don't think anybody walked away from either one of those games feeling great about their team in week one, and that's the whole point. It's week one. You get better, and Kirk Ferentz has said this a number of times, you get better as the season goes on. That's the whole point. The goal is to be better in week 12 than you were in week 1. The goal is to be better in week 2 than you were in week 1. Well, you look across the country, and we'll get into the picture in the 6 o'clock hour, college football as a whole. But when you look across the country, there's a whole lot of teams that are in that boat this week after 1 week of games. There's a lot of teams that are hoping to be better in week 2 than they were in week 1.
Yeah, in both the Big 12 and the Big 10. I know we didn't get to talk a whole lot about Michigan State. Did you see what they did to Tulsa? They held them to negative 73 rushing yards.
Which is,
you heard that right.
Which is funny because one of the Tulsa running backs going into that game said he felt 200 yards on the ground was a good baseline.
Something I think that was Shamari Brooks. He had 6 carries for 0 yards.
Well,
but
sounds like he had a successful day compared to the rest of the team then.
If you're a Michigan State fan, you're saying, same old, you know what? The offense looked terrible again against a really bad Tulsa defense.
You got to love overreactions on the first Monday after the first Saturday of games, don't you? 319-366-1600. We did not hear from cardholder number 42, so let's try this. Let's try cardholder number 97. If you got card number 97 from us at FryFest last Friday and you are still in possession of it, give Kyle a call right now, 319-366-1600. If we hear from you before 6:15, you are our lucky winner tonight. And if we don't, we will draw another number. So card number 97. If we handed you a card at FryFest with that number on it and you're still in possession of it, give us a call, 319-366-1600. Hopefully we get a winner here before we're off the air at 6 o'clock tonight. Lots more to come, including Words with Ferentz in the 6 o'clock hour, our weekly highlights of what Kirk Ferentz had to say to the media. That's coming up in the third and final hour of the program. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store over the final hour here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM.
Come January of 2020, Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7. If you don't upgrade, the probability is very strong to get viruses. The audits that we've been currently doing, we tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced to know exactly where they're at in the process.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Bromwell Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
It's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn bonus points on more than 250 offers. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or browse through our offers at O'ReillyAuto.com, where you can earn double points shopping online. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you experiencing anxiety?
Am I going crazy?
Intense cravings? Ah. Delirium? If so, you may be experiencing football withdrawal.
Oh, thank goodness.
Clinical studies suggest a heavy dose of face painting, screaming at the top of your lungs.
Woo!
And setting your radio dial right here on the Panthers Sports Network.
Saturday, the Panthers host Southern Utah. Coverage begins at 3 o'clock on the Gym. 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in, 5:57, a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Do want to remind everybody that Thursday, we're going to be back at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Happy to be back for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You can join us at Mulligan's. We'll do the show from 4 until 7. You can stop in and enjoy happy hour as well as delicious half-price wings from 6 until close. Happy hour 3 to 6 and 6 until close half-price wings. That's coming up for you on Thursday, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. And we will have a four-pack of tickets to Adventureland to hand out to somebody. Maybe you didn't get a chance to squeeze in a vacation with the family this summer, or you're looking to get one last weekend away. Four-pack of tickets to Adventureland sounds like a pretty good deal to me. All you need to do is show up and join us at Fry Fest, or join us at Mulligan's. We were at Fry Fest last Friday. We had a number of people stop by and join us. Unfortunately, we haven't heard from anybody yet that has had a card for a number that we've called. Again, the most recent number that we called, I believe, was 97. Right? We've called 97, we've called 42, and we called 64. Those were the numbers. And we go 42, 64, and 97. If you had any of those three cards, any of those numbers, I should say, do give us a call, 319-366-1600. Otherwise, we'll draw one more time. We'll have one more chance to give away a $100. Is it a bill? Is it a check? I'm assuming it's a check. I'd like it for it to be cash. I don't know if anybody carries money at the front desk anymore. It's not safe. We'll write you a check. How about that? That's all coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. It's on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. Live coverage underway on ESPN-TV and the ESPN app from the U.S. Open. Two of tennis's biggest names on the court tonight. Serena Williams continues her quest for a 24th Grand Slam title with her quarterfinals match against Wang Qiang. Then Roger Federer takes on Grigor Dimitrov. The 38-year-old Federer trying to become the oldest male Grand Slam semifinalist since Jimmy Connors during his 1991 run at the U.S. Open when he was 39. As the countdown continues towards Sunday's regular season opener against the Giants, the Cowboys, and star running back Ezekiel Elliott are very close to an agreement on a contract that would end his holdout, according to ESPN's Ed Werder. Elliott and his agent making their way to Dallas. Elliott is the most critical piece for the Cowboys if they're going to play for the Lombardi Trophy this season, in the opinion of ESPN's Damian Woody.
They have everything. The offensive line is elite. They brought over Amari Cooper. The defense was one of the best defenses in the National Football League last year. If you have Zeke in the fold, which is, to me, the biggest component to it all, because he helps every facet of the Dallas Cowboys team, this team, to me, is ready-made to represent, to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Our Damian Woody. Cubs welcome back catcher Wilson Contreras from a hamstring injury tonight against the Mariners. Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant, though, has been scratched because of right knee soreness. Ian Happ playing third tonight in his place for Chicago. College football, Stanford quarterback K.J. Costello with a head injury, questionable for the game against USC. Cardinals star left tackle Walker Little likely out until midseason with a lower body injury.
Coming up Wednesday, happy NFL Eve. It's the last day without real, meaningful NFL game. We prime you for the season 100 by ranking running backs, plus the latest from the U.S. Open, and of course more. Wednesday in Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Stephen A. Smith.
The NFL owners, they talked about, well, you know what, you can have the 18 games, but the players can still be allowed to play 16 games. In other words, you got reserves that could play those other two games. I've read up on CTE. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. And I understand safety's an issue. But I will tell you this. That idea by the owners, that ain't a bad damn idea.
Catch Stephen A. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
6:04, we welcome you back in. It is hour number 3 of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a beautiful Tuesday evening here in Eastern Iowa. No baseball to be played tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Colonels wrapped up the Midwest League's regular season yesterday in Beloit with a victory, but they do begin the Midwest League playoffs tomorrow at home against the Quad Cities River Bandits. Could be your last opportunity to see the Colonels in action this year, depending on how that series plays out. The other Western Division playoff grouping, Kane County and Clinton. And then in the Eastern Division, Great Lakes and Lake County play one another, and the South Bend Cubs will be taking on the Bowling Green Hot Rods. So best of luck going out to Brian Dinkelman and the Colonels as they kick off the Midwest League playoffs tomorrow here in Cedar Rapids. We mentioned Mitch Keller on the mound tonight for the Marlins. That game about to get underway at PNC Park, looking for his second big league victory. We had Mitch on the program with us a couple weeks ago. If you missed out on checking that out, the podcast is still available at KGYMradio.com, as is today's poll question. Should you and I have gone for two? Double overtime against Iowa State. They ultimately kicked the field goal, sent it to a third overtime period. You and I scores a field goal. Iowa State gets a touchdown and the victory. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to Home Depot. We've not heard from any of our cardholders. Let's try card number 41 this time. Card number 41. If you've still got that, give us a call at 319-366-1600. Kyle would love to make you $100 richer. We'll find out whether cardholder number 41 is still with us or not. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Again, the number 319-366-1600 as we make our way toward 7 o'clock tonight. The world is on Zeke Elliott watch. The story, the reporting earlier today, the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott close to getting a deal done that could possibly put him in a position to play in week one for Dallas. We'll have more on that coming up in just a little bit, but first we will bring you the highlights of Kirk Ferentz's news conference earlier today in Iowa City. a little segment that we like to call Words with Ference each Tuesday. The segment brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Here are some of the highlights, edited, of course, to stay within the University of Iowa's guidelines, of Kirk Ference earlier today in Iowa City.
Injury-wise, last week we had two guys not dress out, two guys in the two deep. Van Wert and Julius Brents were both out. Brents is going to be out for a couple weeks. Cole's got a shot, I think, this week, so we'll just see how this week goes. But he worked today and looked pretty good, so that's good news. And then had two injuries in the game that both players are going to miss some time. Moss came out with a leg injury, and he's going to be out for a while. Riley's going to probably miss, looks like, 4 to 6 weeks, one of those things. And then the good news with Alaric is that it was a sprain. So the bad news is he's going to miss a couple weeks, but he will not be with us for the next two games, that's for sure. And we'll just assess it as we go along. But, so that's the status right now.
What is Kyle's shot down to kind of slide up the depth chart so quickly?
He's just, he's practiced and prepared well. And he's done it kind of quietly. He did a lot of good things last year, but really has improved physically. He's a little bit more mature now, been around the program a little bit longer. And he's one of those guys that's, I don't want to call him nondescript, but he's not flashy. But if you watch him closely, he just does a lot of things really well and consistently. And he's certainly done that this August. He really had a good, good month of practice and was very consistent. He's also a versatile guy that can move around and doesn't seem to affect him at all.
Do you plan to continue to rotate offensive linemen this week?
Yeah, I think, we were planning to do that anyway, and then we were forced to do it maybe a little bit more than the plan was calling for with A.J. coming out. So, we're certainly going to be short him. We may get Cole back, maybe not. We can't count on that. But, yeah, we'll keep rotating guys around. And, the good news is I thought Collar played well. Lentz came in, played well. Both the Paulsons played their best football since they've been here. So, the trick for us right now is to keep pushing forward and, see these guys improve.
He doesn't seem overwhelmed by the moment at all. He seems really relaxed. Is that kind of how he plays, too?
It's just kind of how he's been since he's gotten here. And was on the scout team initially, like most first-year guys and young guys. And he just kind of fits in, gets along well with his teammates. And, he works hard. And the biggest thing, I think, he's given himself. He's worked hard, and his body's a little bit more better able to stand up now to, competing against good players. And I said he's done that all camp long, so it's great to see.
It was a big thing he was lacking coming out, just height. He said height was a big thing everyone questioned.
Height or hype? Probably both, right? We thought he's a good high school. He did a lot of good things in high school, a good competitor in a couple sports. And, but I don't know how I'm going to stand here and say any of us saw this coming, but he's just quietly ascended, did a good job in the spring. And Lattimore's a tough guy to block, and he probably blocked him as well as anybody we have during the course of camp. But I'm not saying he won every battle, but he certainly did a lot of good things. So sometimes you just have to believe what you see, and I think he's a good example of it.
I started hearing next man in, I think Jamel Lewis, 2002. I heard about 40 times downstairs today. Is that all conditioning for you? Is that sort of a little bit of psychology going on there?
It's just a reality, and it's a reality of our sport at least. And first of all, just for full disclosure, pretty sure I stole that from the Broncos. I think that was their deal when, their running backs and all that stuff. So everything, we do in coaching is stolen, and I'll admit to that. But it just made sense, and I guess that it did start back in the early days, and it just makes sense because – one thing about a season, typically you're gonna have guys that have injury issues and things are going to pull them off the field, and somebody's got to be ready, and that's just kind of the way it goes. In our sport, we have so many players involved that it's just natural in the nature of the game. So, there's two things you can do. I mean, you can just wallow and worry about your problems, or you can just say it's an opportunity for somebody to step up and go, and that's what we're counting on, and we need that every week.
Is that the consistency with that message? Was the conditioning part of that intentional? Just having those guys all ready and just thinking that way?
Well, I mean, I tend to repeat things. I guess I'm, it's just one of those things. But there are certain things that are just fundamental to our game, and that's certainly one of them. And, I think it's really important that the players understand that things are going to happen. You never know what the adversity is going to be in a season or a week, but typically something happens every week where you have to make an adjustment and try to improvise a little bit. So if people aren't conditioned to do that, it could be problematic for sure.
Rutgers in there, they have some skill position guys showed in the UMass game that could be dangerous. Is that a little concerning for secondary work?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, the quarterback, that's I'll have to go back and look. I think that's the most they've thrown the ball or the most yardage they've gotten, you know, since the last 2 years, last year and this year, one game. But that gives him a new dimension. I'm sure that's why he won the job. And with all due respect to everybody else there, and both their backs are just really good players. I mean, they're a little bit different, but they're both really good. Number two is a really dynamic player, can do a lot of different things, and they use him in a lot of different ways. And then number one, just he runs hard and runs like he's mad at somebody. I mean, he goes really hard. We're going to have to tackle him. And that's not easy to do. He's a very physical, tough guy. And then they've got some good receivers on top of that.
And that is the highlights of what Kirk Ferentz had to say earlier today in Iowa City, a little segment we like to call Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Raheem Blackshear and Isaiah Pacheco are the number one and number two he is referring to.
This is, I think, going to be an interesting game Saturday morning at Kinnick Stadium. You go from a night game in week one against a non-conference opponent to an 11 a.m. kickoff in week two, but it's a Big Ten game against Rutgers. This still is going to take a lot of reconditioning, a lot of getting used to, but Iowa, a 20.5-point favorite over the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers as they head into Big Ten play. Again, Kirk Ferentz, not necessarily a huge fan of playing a Big Ten game this early in the season, but such is life. You play the games when they're on your schedule and could be a lot tougher. I wouldn't want to play Ohio State, or especially after watching Wisconsin in week one, the Badgers in week two. So Rutgers it is out of the gate. The emergence of Kyler Schott out of North Lynn and Coggin, one of these storylines Kirk talked about in Iowa City earlier today. They call him Shooter, in part because offensive line coach Tim Polasek didn't know how to correctly pronounce his last name. He's got the long hair. Can't remember who it was earlier today, but said sometimes when they get going in practice, going up, it had to have been a defensive player, but said when he gets going up against him, he sometimes gets his hair in his mouth and how nasty it is. To me, one of the storylines from last Saturday is you lose a guy who's all Big Ten caliber, first round, second round NFL draft pick, most likely in Alaric Jackson. You replace him on the line with a walk-on out of Coggin, Iowa, and the line holds firm for most of the night. It's hard not to be impressed with the play, especially Tyler Linderbaum. You're breaking in a new center.
I thought that the play of Mark Kallenberger was underrated, moving him to left tackle instead of having Tristan Wirfs going over to a position where he's not quite as good at and keeping him at right tackle. I thought a lot of guys stepped in, but Kyler Schott, just speaking with him earlier today, first of all, he's listed at 6'2". If he's 6'2", I am 6'8". I'm not 6'8". I'm about 6'3.5". He is not a big, physically imposing guy, and that's probably why he was under-recruited, but he played a hell of a game on Saturday, especially in the running game. And there's some depth on this offensive line, and it's good to see. The question mark going into the year was who's going to fill in at the guard position? Will the guard position have some guys that emerge? And the answer through one game is yes. So you get the news that Alaric Jackson is only going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. I thought that a lot of people are breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief, even though he's going to miss the Iowa State game. Things looked very good up front. That's part of the reason, Todd, that we're looking at Iowa's performance. I thought that their performance on Saturday was a little cut above some of the teams in the Big Ten, where they were a little vanilla in the first half. They didn't show a whole lot. They got some things going. They needed to knock the rust off. And then in the second half, they adjusted and sort of ran away with that game.
Well, there's an additional clip that we did not work into the words with Ferentz. 8057 talks about Cody Ince and Justin Britt. And again, those guys are listed on the two deep, Britt behind Kyler Schott at right guard and Cody Ince behind Landon Paulson at left guard. Here's what Kirk had to say about their performance earlier today.
How did you feel like? I know it was a small sample size, but Cody Ince and Justin Britt, looking back on the tape, how did you feel like those guys did?
Yeah, that was one of the pleasant things that happened, I think, because you never know. Those guys, that's the first time they've been anywhere playing real football in college. So I thought they both reacted really well, and that's a positive start for them. They did some good things, and they'll see some things, even though they didn't play a lot, they'll see some things they can get better at too. But I thought it was a good start for both of them. And on the sideline, they seemed like, they're doing fine. They weren't all just, totally starstruck.
Britt had surgery, major surgery, less than a year ago. What's that say about his focus and just, I guess, his healing powers and everything?
Yeah, I just kind of made mention that we were looking at the tape from this morning. And, really, he hasn't played football since 17, if you really want to talk about playing serious football. So, to me, it's amazing that he did as well as he did in camp. And then, he's doing a good job right now in practice. A couple circuits blown. That's about what you'd expect for younger guys, especially. It all starts to add up a little bit. But, I mentioned back during the recruiting thing, I sat down with him in December, I guess it would have been, in his school. He's just a really impressive guy. He impressed us in camp a couple of years ago. And, the more you learn about him, the more you really like about him. He's a tremendous young guy.
Cody Ince and Justin Britt, two guys that have also worked their way into the rotation on the offensive line. If you would have told me that Iowa was going to lose Alaric Jackson and lose him early Saturday and not really feel the effects of that, I'm not sure I would have believed you.
Not at all. I look at that offensive line and say the most irreplaceable piece is Alaric Jackson, a guy who can play that left tackle position and play it well, protect the blind side of Nate Stanley. And I thought at times we saw Tristan Wirfs do it well. There were some guys that stepped up, and it was sort of reminiscent of last year against Northern Illinois. Now, I know that wasn't the best offensive performance, but they found a way in the second half of that game to wear down Northern Illinois with a running game, and that helps a lot, where you're not putting Nate Stanley in a bunch of third and long situations and obvious passing situations. They were able to run the ball and sort of put Miami away in that second half.
By the way, we need to congratulate Chris in Iowa City, the holder of card number 41. We finally got a winner. Thank you, Chris, for stopping by the booth at Fry Fest on Friday, and thank you to everybody who stopped by to say hi, whether you grabbed one of those cards or not. Chris is going to be the recipient of $100 just for stopping by and saying hello. There was some people that thought maybe Fry Fest needs a little bit of a boost, that things seem to be sort of getting a little stale down there. I don't know what they can do at this point that hasn't been done in the past to try to re-energize certain portions of the day. The trade show did seem to be a little bit smaller this year, but we certainly had a great time being there. We love being down there, and it's such a great event. You want to see it continue to thrive and get back to where it was a couple years ago, where there was so much going on. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on how to maybe beef it up a little bit, what to bring back. I thought the turnout was great for the Q&A session with the 2004 Big Ten champion Hawkeyes. And if you had an opportunity to hear Warren Holloway with us in the 6 o'clock hour on Friday night, you know how much those guys enjoyed being able to get back together. But there were just something seems a little tired at this point. Got to try to figure out a way to jazz it up. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I it's such a great event, and you get so many people going to it. And maybe the turnout was a little bit bigger, having the 83 coaching staff returning. But the 2004 team was a great draw, as you mentioned. And everything, every once in a while, needs a little bit of a tune-up. And I'm sure the folks working on it will find a way to do that.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to being back there next year for FryFest 2020. I'd certainly say 2019 was a success as well. Apparently, we're I don't think anybody's putting Iowa in the national championship game after Saturday night, but apparently we're being too positive for 28-49 on the text line. It says, calm down, fellas. It was against Miami University.
When
we said that Alaric Jackson got hurt and there wasn't much of a drop off in the offensive line.
Well, that's true.
That's a true statement.
Yeah, that's not an opinion. That's what happened.
You're still high on Oliver Martin after seeing him on. So you tell me what you, to me, it looked pretty simple. He got open in the end zone, but you saw what you think makes Oliver Martin special or what can separate him from some of the other receivers that we've seen at Iowa in the past.
He made it look pretty easy. It's not necessarily the hardest play in the world, but the way that he got that separation off the line of scrimmage, that short area quickness that we heard about, and that was the thing that I wondered about. How is he going to be able to be used when defensive backs jam him? Now, it wasn't like he was going against Richard Sherman or anything out there on the edge, but the short area quickness, the release off the line of scrimmage, the ability to get wide open in the corner of the end zone, and everything that we've heard about his route running ability and also his size. He's sort of a do-it-all type receiver, and if everything that we've heard about him and I've seen since his days at Iowa City West continue to hold up, and his ability, his work ethic, I think he's going to be a top two receiver on this team before it's all said and done this season.
What did you like? What did you not like from the Hawkeyes in their season opener at Kinnick Stadium? 319-366-1600. You can pick up the phone and let us know right now. I know some people inside the stadium were not happy with the concessions on Saturday night. I saw there were some posts about running out of various food items.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hot dogs, popcorn. One of the south end zone concession stands, I think, was completely closed. You got that new area in the north end zone. Everything seemed to be, I won't say everything was fine there. I know people were complaining about the lines, that the concourse wasn't deep enough, and so that the lines at the concession stands got to be big enough where all of a sudden you couldn't get from one side of the north end zone to the other. So logistically, I think you'll take those problems if you're Iowa, but they'll get things figured out too. It was opening night for them also. Let's go to Brandon in Coggin. He wants to weigh in on the Hawkeyes' performance against Miami. Brandon, what'd you like Saturday night?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. First of all, I want to say I know it was against Miami of Ohio, but what I liked is the offense showed signs, showed life of being more of an explosive offense than they were last year, in my opinion. It was the first game of the season, and there's always bumps and things that they need to work on, and the penalties really kind of scared me as a fan, and also Nate Stanley missing off some wide open deep throws. But other than that, I saw an offense that has a better chance of getting more explosive plays than I did last season, in my opinion.
Appreciate the phone call. 319-366-1600 if you want to follow Brandon. There's the Nate Stanley, I guess, the knock on him. And look, it's true. He oftentimes lacks that touch going deep downfield. And I think if he could ever get that figured out, he would definitely take the next step into that next tier of Big Ten quarterbacks. But I thought his performance was pretty darn good for what Iowa was showing offensively. They got the ball to a lot of different guys, both out of the backfield and in the receiving game. Sean Beyer was involved. I think, obviously, things will tighten up a little bit moving forward over the coming weeks for Iowa offensively. But Kirk Ferentz said today that was by design. They wanted to get a lot of guys involved, and they were able to.
Yeah, I thought that the game plan going in was sort of similar to what we saw from Iowa State, where it's like, okay, let's see what we have in these guys. Let's be fairly vanilla. Let's get a lot of guys involved, and they were able to get more of a cushion because they could run the ball. They averaged over 5 yards per carry. I thought Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young looked great. And yes, they went into the locker room with just a 10-7 lead. Miami was better than most of us thought they were. I think that Brett Gabbert, the freshman out of St. Louis, was very impressive for the Redhawks. But in that second half, Iowa pulled away. They were able to get a couple of early touchdowns, and that really helped them be able to get through week one without showing a whole heck of a lot. And going back to some people who think we're being a little too positive, it is week one. They are going to face much stiffer competition. The question marks are still there. I didn't come out of that game with any questions answered as far as, okay, what is who's going to emerge in the receiving core? Will this offense be consistent? Will the running game be more consistent? It looked good, but once again, there's definitely going to be a wait and see approach for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us is putting Iowa in Indianapolis right now after one game against a mid-level MAC team.
But they took care of business when a lot of teams around the country who were hyped up preseason didn't, or they won, like Nebraska and Iowa State and some of these other teams that were close, West Virginia, but they really didn't look good at all in the process. Iowa at least was able to pull away.
Leo in Iowa City says, hopefully AJ Epenesa can adjust to being double and triple teamed. Miami, I thought, did a really good job of game planning. They knew who number 94 was. They knew they wanted to keep the ball away from his side of the field. And if they were going to try to throw the ball or hang on to it for any amount of time, they were going to double team, and they were going to chip, and they were going to make life all around miserable for AJ Epenesa. So if you get caught up in the final box score, the stat sheet, I think he had, 1.5 tackles or something like that. It was obviously a disappointing day production-wise for him, but the way that you need to look at it, I think, is if you're paying that much attention to one player, it's hopefully opening up opportunities for other guys to get in there and make plays or be disruptive. And you watched the 7.5-minute clip or whatever it was of every play AJ Epenesa was in on. You saw plenty of his impacting the game, even though it didn't show up in the box score.
Yeah, fighting through double teams and still batting down a pass and getting to the quarterback. They went quick. They got the ball out of Gabbert's hand very quickly, and They knew they weren't going to have a whole heck of a lot of time. There just weren't that many opportunities to get to the quarterback because Miami of Ohio was not going to let that happen. So I'll give a lot of credit to Chuck Martin because he really confused Iowa's defense for the entire first quarter. And as I said, Kayvon Merriweather said that they were not ready for anything that Miami was throwing at them. Everything that they did in that first quarter was completely new and hadn't been seen on film by Iowa all week. So I think collectively the defense had to draw up a game plan in the dirt on the sideline and make adjustments on the fly, and they were eventually able to make those adjustments.
We'll hear some of the Iowa player reactions to the win over Miami, as well as what to expect looking ahead to an earlier-than-normal Big Ten opener this Saturday against Rutgers throughout the course of the coming week. We'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle will get you your third and final Big Board update, and then we'll take a look around the rest of college football in week one. Teams that impressed and teams that didn't. Back with more after this.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards.
ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SPAIN. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
The kids are back in school.
Yes.
Football season is here. And it's the most wonderful time of the year at Airport National Golf. It's time for fall golf. Play Airport National in Cedar Rapids Monday through Friday from open to 2 p.m. and get a round of golf, cart, and lunch for just $25. There's plenty of great golf days left. So spend them at Airport National and get a round, cart, and lunch for just $25. Stop in for details. Airport National Golf, Wright Brothers Boulevard in Cedar Rapids.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
The perfect soundtrack for your active Smart Rock Summer on Smart FM. Laundering the beach towels. Playing highway bingo on the way to Grandma's. Replacing the wicks in the tiki torches. Making macaroni crafts with the kids. Attaching new blades to the weed whacker. That second date. Whatever this hectic summer brings your way, you can count on Smart FM to provide the perfect soundtrack. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank, connection is here. Member FDIC.
One stop left on this three-city, 10-game road trip. Twins in Boston to take on the Red Sox with a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:35, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. More college football discussion to come, but first, Kyle's got a big board update for you, brought to you by the folks at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
The Hawkeyes beat Miami of Ohio 38-14 on Saturday night and earned themselves a bump up to 20th in today's AP poll. And Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media to address some questions and look ahead to Week 2 today. He confirmed that offensive lineman Alaric Jackson avoided disaster and his injury was just a sprain, so he could return as early as the Middle Tennessee State game in Week 4. He also says cornerback Riley Moss will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury, and Julius Brents will continue to miss time from the secondary as well. The one bit of positive news is that Cole Banwart may be ready to step back into his starting role along the offensive line this weekend. Iowa State had a much tougher time with UNI, requiring three overtimes to beat the Panthers 29-26, but they also remain in the AP poll today at 25th. Starting center Colin Newell suffered a knee sprain in that game, but Campbell says his outlook is better than expected at first, calling him day-to-day, and running back Kenny Onwuangu is also said to be day-to-day with an injury as the Cyclones head into their bye week. Aside from quarterback Will McIlvain, it was kicker Matt Cook who starred for the Panthers in that near upset, and today he was rewarded with the FCS National Special Teams Player of the Week honors. The true freshman freshman Cedar Falls native went 4-for-4 with makes from 49 and 50 yards. Other big news for UNI sports fans today is the announcement that the school will start selling alcohol. That's going to start up this weekend at, and is going to be at all football and men's basketball games. Tonight after the show, we'll join the Twins in progress on the road in Boston on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Bad news for Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller. He made the start tonight against the Miami Marlins at PNC Park. He has had to leave the game in the second inning, struck by a line drive in the right wrist off the bat of Garrett Cooper. A 106-mile-an-hour exit velocity on the line drive from Cooper. Keller got his hand up to defend himself. The ball hit his wrist and ricocheted into his glove. He actually made the out on the play, but imagine standing 60 feet 6 inches away from a baseball that comes your way at 106 miles an hour and hits you in the wrist. That's bad news for Mitch Keller. Let's all cross our fingers and hope for the best for the Cedar Rapids native, the former Xavier standout who's joined us on the program. Hopefully there's no long-term side effects or lingering injuries there, but he's been removed from the game as a precautionary measure. The Cedar Rapids Colonels, speaking of baseball, will be back at Veterans Memorial Stadium tomorrow night. It's going to be game one of the Midwest League playoffs, the first round. Colonels taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits. These two teams just met for a series last week. Quad Cities will be back here tomorrow night for Game 1 and then Games 2 and 3, if necessary, in the Quad Cities on Thursday and Friday night. Tickets available at colonels.com. Other than Iowa and Iowa State, what else got your attention this week in college football? 319-366-1600. There were a lot of, I don't know how to diplomatically say this, so I'm just going to come out and say it. Alex, there were a lot of ugly games in week one.
There were, and there were a lot of teams that you had high expectations for who were not, who played like crap. I'm not going to sit here and say that I thought that Florida State was going to be a great team this year, but
well, we
they
know
lose.
Why, we know why they struggled, though.
They lose, and Willie Taggart, their coach, comes out and blames the fact that they weren't, quote, hydrated enough for the law to play against Boise State, as if the fact that they play in the heat was some kind of disadvantage playing in the heat or practice in the heat. There was some kind of disadvantage for them playing against a team in Boise who's not used to that heat. I'm not understanding the logic there, but I think Willie Taggart's days at Florida State are becoming more and more numbered. The Auburn Oregon game was fantastic throughout the night. I thought Oregon had that one in hand, but you got to give Auburn and Bo Nix some credit. That was just a fun football game.
Auburn scores a touchdown with what, 9 seconds
yes
remaining in the game to wind up once again a thorn in Oregon's side.
Nebraska didn't look very good. Northwestern, as was mentioned by Tom Cakert, there's a little concern there for Northwestern. How long have we heard about Hunter Johnson, the transfer from Clemson, and how he was going to be a big help for that position? Not only was he bad, it's pretty obvious that Pat Fitzgerald didn't see a lot of separation from him and TJ Green. TJ Green played quite a bit for Northwestern in their 17-7 loss to Stanford, Tennessee, one of the worst losses in program history. Mizzou goes on the road with high expectations and a new quarterback in Kelly Bryant, the Clemson transfer. They lose. There was some ugly football and a lot of underdogs sort of shooting their shot in week one and giving everything they have to, and some came away with the upset, and others like you and I came painfully close.
Well, Mizzou's going to be a 13.5 point, essentially a 2-touchdown favorite this weekend as they host West Virginia. West Virginia, which had its hands full with James Madison. Again, an elite FCS
yes
program. When you play the elite FCS programs, you best come loaded for bear. LSU is going to be at Texas this week. That should
this
be
is going to be
game
an awesome slate this week. this weekend.
And Nebraska, Colorado, it's going to be fun to see those two old rivals going at it once again. Nebraska officially back. The Huskers are back.
Now, of all the things that we saw this last weekend, I think the biggest gaffe, and I'm trying to find the name of the offensive lineman for Texas A&M who did this, but did you see that a Texas A&M player guaranteed victory over number one Clemson?
I did. They were talking about this on the, it may have been the Lebatard show this morning, or it may have been Golic and Wingo, but there was mention that there was an upset called. Good luck with that.
Yeah. They were close last year, but you know what?
Clemson's a 17.5-point favorite in that game. That's against a top 15 opponent.
What do they say about bulletin board material? Don't give the giant in college football, the team that just beat Alabama in the college football playoff a few months ago by, 28 points? Don't give them fuel. Don't do it. But it's up there, and I just want to know what the conversation goes like between Jimbo Fisher and his player when something like that is said.
No need for Iowa State to focus on its opponent this weekend. The Cyclones have a bye week. They've got an extra week to rest up and prepare for the Hawkeyes. But Iowa State, among those teams that you mentioned, that barely got by in their opener. But Jerry Jeff Walker had a song called Just Getting By. And if you get by, you're 1-0. And Kirk Ferentz started off his news conference today saying, we're happy to be 1-0. And if you're 1-0, it doesn't matter whether you won the game by 56 points or in triple overtime, as Iowa State did, you're still 1-0.
I forgot one of the obvious storylines from week one. Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
It turns out that
Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing, maybe?
Maybe. Jalen Hurts, as good as advertised.
332 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 176 yards on the ground. And I came in with some questions about whether or not he was going to be able to be the passer that Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield were. He's not. He's not going to be as accurate and a guy that's going to push the ball down the field as much as those guys, but it is abundantly clear that Lincoln Riley is the best offensive mind in college football because of his ability to adapt to his players.
How much longer is Lincoln Riley in Norman, Oklahoma?
As long as he wants to be, but that could mean about 3 months if he wanted it to.
He's the hottest name in coaching.
Yeah.
Right?
There are going to be NFL teams knocking down his door to try to get him to join their coaching staff, to be their head coach in, come January. There's no doubt about that.
Don't forget, you have an opportunity to win $500 with us this NFL season, courtesy of our friends at Imon Communications. It's the 2019 KGYM NFL Knockout Pool. You can get details on how to register by visiting kgymradio.com. The password for the knockout pool is IMON, all lowercase, I-M-O-N. And you pick one team each week, a new team, a different team each week, and somebody is going to be the last man or woman standing, and that person is going to take home $500. Again, courtesy of our friends at Imon Communications. Imon also sponsors fantasy football content on both the Gym Class and this program. Chris Liss of rotowire.com will be with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes tomorrow at about 3:30. And Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will answer your fantasy football questions here on this program tomorrow at 6:15. It's 6:46. Oh, man, I'm looking at the video of Mitch Keller getting smoked by the line drive. Line drive was heading directly back at him, I'd say about chest high. He gets his hands back up in a defensive position, and that ball hits him on the inside of the right wrist and ricochets into his glove. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that the outcome there probably isn't going to be good for the former Cedar Rapids Xavier standout. So cross our fingers and hope for the best for him, but he's been taken out of that game between the Pirates and the Marlins at PNC Park. Again, quick timeout. Back with more of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, after this.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was five, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Get ready, Solon. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
If you are drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of the special IRS tax programs that are available and will free you from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardships consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, or you even have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to live in fear. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline. Do not take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even go after your Social Security check.
Call Community Tax today, 800-224-4083. To end your tax troubles, call now, 800-224-4083. Get a free consultation. Call 800-224-4083. That's 800-224-4083.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Do you need a work shoe that looks so good you can wear it straight from the job out to dinner? Then look no further than Skechers Safety Toe Work Shoes. Skechers Work Shoes come in a variety of great styles that look just as good on the job as off. Plus, they're super comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. They feel as good as opening your paycheck after a hefty week of overtime. And speaking of your paycheck, Skechers Safety Toe Work Shoes won't break the bank. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
One stop left on this three-city, 10-game road trip. Twins in Boston to take on the Red Sox with a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that game will be joined in progress momentarily. Randy Dobnak, the former member of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, as recently as last season, drawing the start for the Twins today. A little bit of an opener role for the one-time Uber driver with a 4.9 rating. A lot has been made of that. The Colonels are in action tomorrow night at home at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They open up the Midwest League playoffs with the Quad Cities River Bandits. Colonels had the season series 16 games against Quad Cities. They were 9-7, so they edged the Astros affiliate out by two games over the course of the regular season. Anything can happen, though, when you get into a short series. Pirates, by the way, lead that game 1-0 that Mitch Keller has been taken out of, and the Twins have a 1-0 lead over the Red Sox. That game in the bottom of the second, and Lewis Thorpe already in from the bullpen, so it looks like a bullpen day for Rocco Baldelli and the Minnesota Twins. Dirk Nowitzki, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. Funny guy. Was on a flight from China back to Dallas. Says he got off the airplane in Dallas, was walking through the terminal and saw all of the members of the paparazzi there and said to himself, I've still got it. And then he realized that all of the photographers there were for Ezekiel Elliott. Nothing broke on this while we were on the air, so I'm assuming we will have plenty to discuss with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow on the show. But, Alex, it sounds like both of these sides are pretty close. Close enough that Dallas indicated to Ezekiel Elliott's agent, hey, have your client leave Mexico and head back to Dallas.
I'm hearing, or we're all hearing, a 7-year mega deal for Ezekiel Elliott. That's interesting. It's a bold strategy, especially after the Rams and the deal they gave to Todd Gurley. I know the Rams are looking at a mulligan. It is very dangerous to give a running back a 7-year deal.
Well, Jerry Jones has a lot of money, and he'd like to win a Super Bowl one of these days before he passes on to the great big helicopter pad in the sky, and Ezekiel Elliott can help him do that. We will, of course, have details on that story tomorrow, as well as more Iowa player audio. The Hawkeyes gearing up for an early Big Ten opener against Rutgers this Saturday morning at Kinnick Stadium. A reminder before the boom will come your way at 9 a.m. on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, our locally produced in-house Iowa Hawkeye pregame show. Give it a shot on the FM frequencies this Saturday morning. Twins baseball, as we mentioned, headed your way. The Twins taking on the Red Sox. The Cubs have the Seattle Mariners at home right now. That's always an interesting... Anytime you see these odd intra-league pairings, I always have to do a double take. Our good friend Jack Dom was in Chicago over the weekend. The Mariners, managed by his former college roommate, Scott Service. I'm sure we'll discuss that with Jack when he rejoins us this Friday after taking a break last Friday for FryFest. And again, congratulations to Chris in Iowa City for taking home $100 just for stopping by and saying hi to us in Coralville last week. That'll do it. If you missed anything from today's show, the podcast is available right now at kgymradio.com.